Blog Talk Radio.
Hurricane has been giving us fits here. Yes, we are on the air.
Had some fun. Well, 30 minutes late, but we are here.
And we're still not here, but we're here. Now, I wish I could see something that will tell it. Well, yeah. Okay. 2 minutes ago, 55 seconds into the show, supposedly. But that's about 37 minutes late.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Well, I want to tell you, this has been a real, real unbelievable day. Now, I'm going to go into some stuff here. There's so much stuff here. First of all, there's Stop and Frisk in New York City, which has been unbelievable. We have the Carol Maloney talking to one of the she was talking to the present head of the IRS, and in this meeting she said, just explain to me, if the law says exclusively nobody can be accepted for a exemption if they are doing it for funding or for a political organization. Exclusively. This is what it says in the statute that the Congress of the United States made law.
Right.
So tell me, Mr. Liefeld, who you're now in charge of the IRS, why do you assume that you can put the word in, eliminate the word precisely, eliminate the word exclusively, and put in the word, partially?
something like that. You know,
now, he says, well, we shouldn't be able to do it. I just want you to hear this little bit of comment from Carol Maloney.
The law has a House committee on oversight that will reform call government demand. And President Obama sent them to fix the IRS and finance. Here is the testimony of Acting Commissioner David Rothfeld. The truth came out. The smoking gun was found. And we now have proof that federal law was violated.
Another regulation that was more than 50 years old, but do you know why Treasury changed it from exclusive to primary? I do not. You do not. And if there's any reason why you think we should not use the exclusive test today, I think it's something that I want to work with the Treasury Department and committees in Congress to explore. Right now, I have a regulation that I have to abide by that uses the word primary, and so that's what I'm working with.
Now,
okay.
We are in, I have to try to fix you up here, see why you can't hear.
Okay.
And,
but so, you know, if we listen to our Ted Nugent, he says that it's just the Obama IRS Nazis.
The Nazi IRS. The Nazi IRS. How about that? Is that better? I didn't do anything. Well, no.
Nope.
No.
So is it the Nazi IRS? Is it kill all the lawyers?
Uh-huh. Kill all the lawyers. Okay, go on. Yeah, go on. Oh, it won't matter. Okay. So you're in, where are you in? You're in, you must be in, where are you supposed to be plugged in? Oh, yeah. Right here. Okay, how about now? How about now? Yeah, well, we're still having problems with our headsets. Go check this. See how that sound? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You hear me? That's wonderful.
All right. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So you got to wonder, though, if we've got a runaway IRS, or is it an IRS that's doing its job, and yet it's another faux scandal that they're trying to get you know, fear and anger about, because that's what the Republicans have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, it's okay when they pass the Patriot Act and have Dick Cheney listening to,
right?
When Obama does it.
Well,
you know, or it's a bad thing when Obama collects taxes, you know, or it's a bad thing when Obama is elected president, you know, whatever. But they do something, it's fine. So is this a real scandal, or is this
no? It's a fake scandal.
Okay,
and it's a fake scandal.
You think that part of the problem, though, is coming from the IRS itself, that they were being nice and allowing these guys to get any kind of, you know, quote unquote charity admitted when they're really just political?
They were political. You should be able to hear me now. No.
Okay. That's okay.
You can hear me now. Well, because you're coming across the air.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. But I was saying.
But is it just that the IRS was being nice, trying to let these guys, you know, get tax exempt? Because
right.
You notice the only people they denied were a couple of Democratic groups.
Three Democrat groups were denied.
All the Republican.
Three Democrat groups were denied. Okay. Now here's the thing. We need to find out. What was going on was that the Democratic groups who were involved in the program were rejected because they were trying to get an exemption, and they did it correctly.
Okay.
They told them that they were political.
Right.
They got rejected.
Because they said, hey, this
right.
is what we're doing.
The conservative groups who were trying to get an exemption mm-hmm. were trying to cover it up to get the exemption
right.
and trying to say, oh,
we're
no.
We're not political.
Right. We're not political.
We're a group or we're this or that. And that's one of the problems that I've had for the longest time.
Can you hear me now? You know
that
commercial. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Very good. There you go. I hear you again.
Okay,
but these Republican groups often use the cover of being a Christian group so that they not only act as a charity, but they also try to get complete tax exemption. And that's one thing that bothers me. That's
because what is really bothering me now is these regulations. And so you didn't hear, you were off the air, and I just want to play this everybody so they can hear it again. We're at Representative Carol Maloney asked the now president head of the IRS who changed the word exclusively
right.
to primarily
so what?
In the code.
Right.
He says, I just got here. I don't know. But we're investigating. So
then it happened before.
Right. So, oh, it did happen before. So now the thing was changed with, I can't remember, the representative from Las Vegas said to this same gentleman, the Congress, mm-hmm. me, us, we are the persons who make the law, not the IRS and not anybody in the IRS. We made the law exclusively. That means nobody had the right to change the code. So who in the IRS changed the code to say primarily?
You know, if we go back and look, it's going to end up being some, you know, 14th level of a budget.
I know the regulation now is more than 15 years long, but you know, my president changed it from exclusive to permanent, and not legal. And is there any reason that you think we should not use exclusive test to be I think it's something that I'm going to work with the Treasury Department and Committee of Congress to exclude. Right now, I have a regulation I have to abide by, it uses the word primary, and so that's what I'm working with.
That's what he's working with. He has a regulation that he has to go by, a code.
Right.
But if the IRS directs him, hey, we don't care about your code. We want you to go back and change and do it exclusively like we said. They should instruct him to do it. They can instruct him to do it because they are the Congress.
But again, it gets to the point of the defense here is that they're doing as they were directed.
No.
Yes.
That they're doing as the code in the IRS. Who changed the code?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Who?
So nobody directed them to do it. They are. They're going by what it says in the code.
I have to follow.
I have to follow the code. Fine. But and then he also said, I know what the law is, what the Congress says, but I'm forced to follow. Well, I would say then, you know what? You're forced to follow me. We're not overruling the code. You follow the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have directed him to do that then. But they're only there as an exploratory committee to find out who changed it and why it was changed.
Well, and this gets back to a problem that we talked about many years ago. During the Bush-Cheney years, that he did unprecedented, and this is what I think is a root cause of these things, but they did an unprecedented thing. When they had control, you remember they called and stacked all those low-level people throughout government in Washington, everywhere they could, but they did it in such a harshly partisan way, and you remember they got in trouble with this. Telling lobbying firms, you remember everything else, that you could not operate in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
while they were in control of the Congress unless you had all Republican staffers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that is worrisome when you think about it, implications of things, because, hey, a little code change here, a little directive there, you can substantially change the intent of laws or the intent of the statutes that people operate under by all these little...
If you think that's something, just listen to this.
After serving 12 years in the United States Senate, Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska left the Senate last year. And then he was going to be lobbying for the Senate, Texas Senator Kirby Richardson for the 20 years in the Senate before she too left and Senator Kit Bond, 24 years in the Senate, he cast out, that is Senator Brian Kyle, 26 years on top of the bill, he left the Senate in January to Hey, what happened to old Senator Evan Bayh, my old friend? Oh, wait, lobbyist. What happened to old Senator Bob Bennett? Lobbyist. How about Byron? Whatever happened to Senator Byron Doherty? Oh, lobbyist. Chris Dodd, he used to be a senator, now guess what? Hey, lobbyist. Lance Lincoln? Remember when he made a giant light sign to slap Lance Lincoln in front of the moment to claim the people? Scott Brown from Massachusetts. What has become of him? Actually, this one is the biggest step.
Now, why do you think that these guys are doing exactly what Carl Maloney was trying to get out of this particular defendant? Because every single one of them have gone in there and tweaked the daggone code, so when they get out, they now can lobby.
Yep.
Every single one of them.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what's really bad.
They're senators, they're not congressmen. They're senators. Congressman Kidd is garbage. Forget him.
Well, this is why also people in the street, and, you know, to give them the fairness of the moment, all of these Tea Partiers and everybody else are get disgruntled with our government, because you see it blatantly is bought and sold.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about money. It's all about corporations, and it's all about taxes. It's got nothing to do with people or law or anything else anymore. It's all about money and the revolving door of access. And that's what these people do.
I mean, you're talking about a revolving door? Yeah. This is a merry-go-round. Yeah. And it's spinning so fast right now. How do these guys get on?
But here's the problem. The corruption and the unethics of it, if you will, of going and doing that instead of being honorable and, you know, retiring or doing something else with your life after you've served as a in government, gives people like these, you know, Tea Partiers, gives them a right to go and start complaining about the government. But then you get the, you know, like I said a minute ago,
great.
Loving this stuff. And this is, I just want to like point out how they go with it, though. They say, hey, these guys, you know, are like Nazis, and they're using Nazi tactics because the IRS is a Nazi type jackbooted organization that runs with impunity and would do what they damn well please. So in a way, he has a point, because they're running as they damn well please instead of following strict adherence to the law in the way they always were supposed to run.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives them, you know, the ability to say this. Then he, you know, by throwing in all the buzzwords.
Oh, the buzzwords, exactly. Nazi.
Yeah. Which is the same thing with this, because he goes on to say, when they asked him, what do you think about President Obama's choice of Susan Rice for NSA, right? He said, you got to be kidding me. He screamed down. He said, who's he going to appoint in charge of the children's playground? Jeffrey Dahmer? Yeah. So
who's this? What moron is this?
Ted Nugent, you know, the king of morons. But
the king of
this
morons.
Is the thing that gets me, though, is they take a, you know, one sliver of truth or whatever that they can get. You know, the IRS or the Republican.
But you got to do that. If you're a Nazi, you have to do that. That's what Goebbels did.
Yes.
He took one sliver.
Yes. The colonel.
One sliver. One colonel. Yes. So this was this. We talk about the IRS 501c4. This is it. Dive.
Yeah.
and you're taking me up? What are you, insane?
Yeah.
I was watching the movie this past weekend called, it wasn't this past weekend, it was yeah, 2 weeks ago when we had the holiday, and it was, it wasn't the Enemy Barrow, it was a Periscope with, it was, let's see, Clark Gable and Burt Lancaster. And then probably they were arguing about who was right, who was wrong. But when it came down to it, they were going to find out they were going into the Bongo Straits, and every single submarine went into the Bongo Straits, got, this is during World War II, got blown up. You said, well, why would that? I mean, how would they know we were there? Yeah, because they got some fool who went out when they were up on the surface and dumped garbage in the water. Dumped the garbage in the water. Normally, they keep it, the garbage, tied in garbage bags in a frozen locker until they can get someplace where traffic, no traffic is, and dump the garbage. Well, the Japanese were looking at the garbage.
Right.
They said, oh. Oh,
garbage,
Captain such-and-such on submarine such-and-such was here. Let's look for him. Anything, you see anything, anything, drop a depth charge on it. So he asked, who the heck emptied the garbage in the ocean? He said, what ocean? The ocean we're in. He said, oh, yeah, I did so some time back. Who told you that? Well, nobody, but I normally have to do it. Yeah, right, okay. This is the thing here. What don't you understand about this? The regulation says, the law says, you are supposed to be exclusively following the order of the Congress. Not primarily, not because you think so, not because it's raining out, but exclusively. So someone is in trouble here. Now we go to, I want you to hear this. If I can find it, the follow the law. Why do we need to follow the law?
Yeah, this isn't even
because the law tells you you need. Now, maybe you have somebody who can stop the bleeding because they're bleeding all over the place. And now they try to switch, shift this on Obama, but somebody's coming to the rescue.
So if anyone could really stop the bleeding, Marco Rubio would seem to be the guy to do it. He wasn't acting as a power broker for Republicans in getting a compromise on President Obama's most important second-term legislative goal, so be it. And so far, let's give some credit here. When one seems completely inconvenient, has remained very much a reality. But Rubio is a leading negotiator of the Senate's bipartisan immigration bill, a bill that needed out of committee in a dramatic vote just last month. But now, Marco Rubio has pulled the fast one. He's already getting credit for pushing the bill forward. Now he wants to get the credit for killing it, too. And so yesterday, on Conservative Talk Radio, which you probably will not listen to, Marco Rubio said the bill that he helped negotiate, the one that he helped get through the committee, the one that he has put his name and face associated with, he said that bill, the one he signed off on, the one he's been pushing all over the place, but it needed amendments to strengthen border security. And those amendments don't pass.
Will you yourself support the legislative judiciary?
Well, I think if those amendments don't pass, then I think we've got a bill that isn't going to become law, and I think we're wasting our time. So the answer is no. Yes, sir? Your vote no on his own no. Why? Well, it turns out Rubio has been working with Senator John Boehner of Texas on his border amendment to the Immigration Reform Bill, working for weeks according to the Rubio aid. And now Rubio says if this amendment doesn't make it into the bill, well, the bill that he worked on, the bill that he busted, the
bill that he worked on, the structure is now passed in the House. And I think it's going to struggle to find the consensus.
I mean,
the usual game.
This is just completely unbelievable.
Well, I
don't even have any words for it. Here's a man that came up. They got a shooting breaking news in Santa Monica, California. Oh, must be one of them guns again. I think that's how they shoot people, right? With guns and bullets?
Guns don't shoot people.
Oh,
right?
People shoot people.
Yeah, people with guns.
Oh, I thought you were going to go, pow, is that a point of finger? And shoot you? Anyway, getting back to this. Here's the guy. They came that with the dagger of bread, this man was in front of everybody. This is what he made his big pitch on. I'm going to freaking get this thing through. And now he's saying, I don't know. I don't think so. This is the man that they want.
Yeah.
They need to have him, and good luck with them.
This is,
with him.
Look, this is, I don't understand this whole thing, but they keep going in circles because one minute they've realized that they don't have a future if they don't start some kind of outreach to anyone that's not an old white.
Yeah, but are we still saying? Well, are we still trying to think that they might have a future?
Well,
I mean, are we still saying that?
But
they got no future.
This is their only hope, and yet they keep shooting themselves in the foot. Because did you see? I was just on the way over here. I was listening to something on the all the you know, the Dream Act kids. Did you hear that? They want to deport them all.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? So now there's this like movement up to deport all the kids that are here for education and stuff and can go to school because their parents were here illegally.
Oh, I thought you meant they wanted to deport the dream team, the basketball team.
No.
Well, that's all right. Deport them kids. Who cares about them?
It's these fools. I don't get the Republicans. I don't know why they have to be so.
Here's the thing, I have something to say about this. Look, I just want to know, why are we even talking about these morons? They're killing themselves. They're eating themselves up, and the problem is they don't know they're dead, and they don't know it yet.
Well, that's true, but like every good zombie movie, sometimes being dead ain't the end of it.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that, yeah.
Just like, you've seen the animal World War Z.
Yeah.
The huge mounds of zombies coming. Well, listen, that's like the Republicans. The bad news for us is we try to ignore them, but they're destroying the country. Okay? So all of this, dragging their feet until the economy stalls and, deporting every Hispanic person, and all this stuff. It's destroying our country, and it's creating real problems.
Well, I want to give props to MSNBC and Lawrence O'Donnell and MSNBC's Chris Hayes for their contributions, because they actually couldn't believe what they were hearing.
Yes.
On those two reports,
yep.
They said, you're not going to believe what they have done now.
Well,
you're not going to believe it. And
the problem is, though, that Rubio, he straddles that fence. So he came in on the Tea Party bandwagon, and he's trying to make himself something else.
Have any shot everybody in the Tea Party wagon train yet?
Well, the problem with it is they're trying to he's trying to be Mr. National Aspirations guy, so he's trying to put on a more generic face and all that. But he came in on the whole wave.
That's right.
Asinine troglodyte. That's the party. So he has to constantly keep going back because they keep going, hey, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? The immigration reform bill, stop that. And they keep coming in going, we told you we hate all of those people. And so he keeps having to, go back.
Well, listen, I think talking about all this, I think we need a little bit of comic relief here.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
The question is, if I were elected and Congress were to pass the Dream Act, would I veto it? And the answer is yes.
We had a long company to know our law. And they had a legal interview, so we're working. We went to the company and they said, look, we can't have any illegals working on our property. That's I'm going to go off with the pizza. They can't have illegals. Almost half the jobs created in Texas were created for illegal aliens. Illegal immigrants.
That is an absolute falsehood on its face.
If you go to the University of Texas, if you're an illegal alien, get in-state tuition discount. According to the college, almost $100,000 discount if you're an illegal alien.
We needed comic relief. I thought that was comic relief. This man be any more funnier than that, or what?
But sadly, as with all these T20 people that he was talking with, they believe in that, and not only that, that was someone saying that utterly stupendously bad things that he was saying. As he was getting not only the nod far, but, you know, getting a fair shake close to being the president of the United States.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, where's the feeling? You know, the hairs on my back, Bush and then Romney and Palin were that close to the finger on the button. I mean, yeah. The hairs on my back. I mean, holy cow.
Okay, this is a guy whose policy, self-stated policy was, I'm the president of the United States. Now deport yourself.
Right.
That was what his national policy was going to be. Deport yourself.
Deport yourself. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Hey, now, how about
God.
That?
It's funny,
you know,
except that it's real.
You know,
but again,
there's some news about old people, you know, in the news.
Yeah, here's some news about old people.
He's a 105-year-old guy, and he said you think Greyhound would get rid of him, but yeah. Well,
hey, you know what? When we're 105, we'll be having to go to Mexico.
Hey.
Beg for money. Because
please.
There'll be no help here if the Republicans have their
way. Now, they're getting back to some important information here. We got MSNBC's Justice Department correspondent, Pete Williams, who ties it up in a nice, neat boat for us.
Problems. You know, one of these programs are classified, so we know only what we've been told by members of Congress who are communicated by government officials who have been authorized to talk about them and some other sources that we talked to. And so the two programs, the first one, the one that was first reported, is a program in which the government stores data through the phone companies. And what happens basically is the government collects this information on a daily basis and builds up, if you will, a huge tank of data about all the cells or all the phone call numbers that have been done by the numbers. It's data about the calls themselves, not the contents, not the millions of people making the calls. It's on phone number based. How many people have to do with people, what are the number of calls and so forth. The government stores that data. And that's the point where that the Guardian newspaper got its hands on 24 hours ago. Now, the only way to look at that data, our understanding is that if they have a reasonable belief that a phone when they get a hold of, let's say somebody arrests a terrorist or takes a phone call and finds that terrorist killed a bunch of other people, then they take those phone numbers and run them through the database. They do that under a system of legal that describes under the phone intelligence surveillance court has approved. And then after they do it, they go back and tell the government again. The court monitors that, how that's done, the Congress audits it as well. So that's the phone system. Now, the separate thing is one that allows the government to monitor the internet, the suspicious email and internet traffic. And according to these reports and officials we've talked to, it allows the anything that the FBI to tap directly into some of the computer servers and some of the biggest internet service providers. And then government analysts can monitor that traffic. The difference is this program, one person said it's not standing in the post office and watching out for specific envelopes that go by in parts of the world where people that are deemed to be troublemakers. And this program was focusing primarily at a connect of communications that have orders and connections. They start overseas and come to the order, start here and go overseas, and that's one of the main differences. Another difference is that this internet email program can work in real time, whereas the telephone program is all looking at past records of phone calls. I think there's one of the reasons they're actually watching people and
big lines in them, and why could you imagine?
Pragmatic
thing about the president. And this gets into, you know, the liberal side of why they're mad at him. I, for one, was very upset and angry about the entire nature of the USA Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. I think it's Orwellian and BS. I think it's an atrocious intrusion on the public citizens. I think it violates every constitutional thought that the Founding Fathers ever had about privacy and about the rights of citizens. Because, you know, even I don't care how you slice or dice the data, the intent is they want to monitor and record everything supposedly explicitly so that they can prevent terrorist attacks. But the problem is that they record everything. You know, it's one of those things that we're going to record everybody 24/7, and then when a crime occurs, we can capture the crime on camera. But the point is you shouldn't record everyone 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That's just a presumption of guilt, right? So that's the liberal side of things. That makes me angry.
Okay, now wait. They're not recording everybody 24 hours a day. They're recording information that they deem traffic, I should say, that comes from the other side of the ocean here.
Well, that,
that's the only thing they do. And then they have to go to the FISA court and tell them, we want to look at the number that was called from Europe.
Right.
And FISA says, why? Because the number that was calling from Europe is coming from Osama bin Laden's hideout. Now, they have to give FISA court a good reason, or else FISA is not going to go offer it. Now, they say, yeah, but can we trust FISA?
Well,
that's the other side of it.
Okay.
Can we trust FISA?
That's all the good
side. They're the judge.
That's all the good side of it. But if you look at the details, they're actually, if you look at some of the scandals, and this is why, again, the Republicans have some legitimacy to what they say because they know what they're talking about. But if you look into the deep data, they're actually recording everything.
No. That's not what we say. The president did not say that.
No,
he
said what he said.
No.
He said what's happening.
No, he's saying that.
What he said.
Yeah.
Now, this is what he's saying. And this is where I make a distinction with his pragmatism.
Right.
When he was just in Congress, he was very much against it. And this stuff
right.
passed. He fought to do it, all that kind of stuff. Well, now it's law. And now that he is basically, you know, the chief law enforcement officer of the country, he is the poster boy up on the wall that says president, he has to defend the laws. He's a very pragmatic man.
Right.
So now, whether like it or not, whether he thinks it's crap or not, he doesn't make law. He defends the law.
Right, okay. But I understand what you're saying.
He's constantly going,
the law does not say that we will look at everything. They're only recording phone numbers.
Yes.
They're only recording phone numbers, not data. Not data.
They do record.
No,
data.
No. I will bring it up with you where the chief law enforcement of NSA says we are not recording data. We are only recording phone numbers.
Well, if you remember that. This was part of the problem, like with the echelon and the.
I understand that, but you have to look.
Remember the carnivore?
Yes, 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 yes.
They were exposed that they have data mining machines that go in any keyword.
Yes, that's true. You're absolutely correct, but that is not the case. Now,
and then keep them in a file. And
no, they're not keeping files.
So, but here's what they said. Supposedly, they only keep it for like 30 days or something, and then ditch it later.
No, it's automatically supposed to kick out.
Anything that has key tag words. So any conversations, auto-recorded.
Right, but you see, but that's not the same thing. If I'm talking to someone in Europe, I'm not going to be talking about the gag on Osama bin Laden. So there's no keyword they're going to get me on.
Right.
So they're not going to record me. They're only going to – now, that is different. You're talking about a different aspect of it now. We're looking at this aspect over here. Every single phone number that is sent in to into this country is recorded, not the data. If a keyword comes up in the data, it is alerted, it has been alerted to from the listener, whoever it is, and it's given to the I guess now it's the guy with the bald head, the NSA, and that then he goes back and tells them, find the data, find the barrel that this stuff is stored in, and look at the data. But before they look at the data, they got to go to the Pfizer court, and Pfizer has to give them permission to look at the data. No data is looked at without a Pfizer law. Now, I'm going to play you something here. Listen to this.
First, this document called the Constitution, and what one of the things that it guarantees is the right of a free press, which means that as a citizen and as a journalist, I have the absolute constitutional right to come and report on what it is that my government is doing in the dark and inform my fellow citizens about that action. There is this massive surveillance state that the United States government has built up that has extraordinary implications for how we live as human beings on the earth and as Americans in our country, and we have the right to know what it is that government and that agency is doing, and I intend to continue to shine light on that, and Diane Feinstein can beat her chest all she wants and call for investigations, and none of that's going to stop and none of it's going to change. But I'm not sure what you really mean to say today about the laws and phone calls part of what we're doing here. Let's listen to this.
I'm a Verizon customer. It doesn't bother me one bit for the National Security Administration to have my phone number. Because what they're trying to do is find out what terrorist groups we know about and individuals in good hell are coming. And my number pops up on some terrorist phone. I'm confident that the FISA court is not going to allow my phone calls to be monitored by my government.
Now, what this guy Glenn Greenwald was saying is only partially true. We do not have the right. We do not have the right. I repeat again. We do not have the right to know every single piece of stitch that goes on with some of the people that are in the world today. We don't have that right because our Constitution does not give us the right to be co-conspirators. It doesn't give us the right to be a traitor. It gives us the right to be free. But people misinterpret free with the ability to say anything you want to your fire in a movie theater.
Right.
That's not the same thing. And because there are certain things that we need to know as an active participant in our government, that we don't need to know certain things because certain things could get us not just in trouble, but dead.
Right.
So there are certain things that this government has to have secret for our own ability because some people can't keep their big mouth shut.
Yeah, I mean.
And Glenn Greenwald is one of them. Now, he said, hey, again, we talk about half truth before. He only gave half truth with that. Because we do not have the right to know every single thing that's going on with it. And as now, Lindsey Graham is coming up, but he's given the other side, but it's half-truth. He said, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. They can talk. Well, that's a lot of garbage, too. So he gave the other side, which was only half-truth, and Greenwald gave his side, which was only half-truth. The fact is that as a former military person, I know, as a former person that had not confidential, but secret clearance, there is no way on this planet that I could tell people what the heck I was doing. I couldn't do that. I had a secret clearance. A secret clearance, I could not go and tell I couldn't tell the people in NAV what I was doing. NAVCOM, I could not tell them unless we got on the same aircraft and were working on the same problem. I could not tell them what I was working on. So this is garbage. These people are just lying through their teeth. They have never been in a situation where they ever knew any military secrets until now. Greenwald does. He don't have a security clearance.
Right.
What the hell is he doing spouting out? He need to lock his butt up, too. Because, oh, no, you can't lock me up because I was going to repeat what someone said. Yeah, but you're repeating a secret confidential information.
Right.
What don't you understand about this?
Well, that's why, and that can lead us into this if you want, but we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's fixing to be avalanche come down on whoever started.
Well, because that person must have a whole lot of things.
Yeah. So somebody is leaking a lot of information about this entire. And by the way,
they will find out because they'll know where it's coming from.
Well, the one that's in the news now is the NSA PRISM.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about
that. It's different than Echelon and
right,
these
others, right.
But they're all kind of, you know.
They're all
Fifty Shades of
right.
Nine,
well, for PRISM.
But it
really is to take on the TV series Person of Interest.
Well,
that's what that is.
Well, that's what that, you know, that type.
Where's that place? Is it located in Utah?
Yeah.
Is that where the place is?
It's
supposed to be there. Now, you can't tell me that place in Utah isn't, well, we'll know in about, I think, 3 or 4 years, that place in Utah is where all this data is being kept.
Right.
And I didn't say phone numbers, I said data.
That's what they said. A repository. Okay.
It's a repository. You don't need a repository for phone numbers. You need a repository for data.
Yeah.
All right, so I say that's where the data is now. But they are supposed to only keep that data X amount of time.
Right.
And then it's rotated out. And just like if you listen to Person of Interest, they have a lot of stuff right, don't they? Where are they getting their information from?
Well, you know, look, this one thing. James Clapper, Director of National
right.
Intelligence.
No, no longer.
Well, he said this, though.
He's no longer. Right.
He said all these reports coming out, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, they asked him directly, Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, PalTalk, AOL, Skype, YouTube, Apple have all been named.
Yeah, and they're all, saying
the
we didn't do it.
Well, they're the ones that are being recorded completely all this. And he says, yes. These reports are true. They are significant, but he says that it doesn't matter what is going on with the data and the law. He says the unauthorized disclosure of this information about this important and entirely legal program is reprehensible and risks all important protections for the security of Americans, is what he said. Hey, by the way, you find all this stuff. What do you say about that, sir? And he says that quote. That means, yes, but the person who told you that is fixing to be in a world of hurt.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what that says.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, the person needs to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, but if you look at what they've done with the...
And they'll say, oh, no, but he's only the whistleblower. No, he's a freaking daggone traitor.
Yeah, that's what they're going to... I mean,
that's under the Espionage Act.
Now, I don't know if Obama's going to do this or not, but he has.
He can?
Yeah, he's prosecuted. You know, he's been after... He's gone after, they said, 3 times more people than any president in history. He has been very strict on enforcing secrets and going after leakers.
Well, I don't blame him.
Barbers, but, you know, the most visible of these and the most damaging, if you will, the WikiLeaks case, they've got, there's two sides of that. There's a guy that runs Wiki, and then there's that soldier that gave him a lot of the data. And that guy is on trial right now.
Right, Manning.
So looking at the Manning example, whoever did this, they're probably going to...
We won't even hear about him.
Far worse.
He will be captured, and we won't even know about it. Because today, the prison deep enough underground or far away where that person will be. And there's
deep enough, you know what you find, right? Zany.
Well, that's, you know, that's... That. Okay, go on. Okay, go on. Thank you. That's my grandson. He's going to the bathroom.
We've got the,
okay,
the fun studio today.
Yes. There was a... Oh, yeah, now we play...
The first government is
settlement. I think you know he's speaking with the way of the Americans, which is the 1990s and the 1990s. I don't care who's been collecting money in the same crowd as my neighbor. I mean, the telecom company is collecting money in his name.
Well, I mean, I think it's notable that one of the most right-wing members of the United States Congress is stepping up to be the most vocal defender of what the Obama administration is doing and what the Bush administration did before that. Because it's a very right-wing mentality. The idea is that the government should simply know everything that citizens in a free society are doing, regardless of whether there's evidence that we've committed any crimes. There was a legitimate investigation in the 1970s called the Truth Committee, and what it discovered was that whenever surveillance powers are exercised in the dark, the government lies about the reasons that they're surveilling, and they abuse that power. They eavesdrop on all sorts of political news, like Martin Luther King and dissidents and opponents of the administration. And the idea that if you have nothing to hide, then there's no reason you should care, people know instinctively that's false. They put passwords on their emails, they put locks on their bedroom doors. There's all kinds of value that we have in having privacy as individuals that is destroyed when we allow the government to monitor and store everything that we're doing. But of course, the Lindsey Grahams of the world are filled with that because that's the mentality in which this is all rooted.
Tell us about these new developments tonight and what the capacity is for the brains of all information from Google and Apple and Facebook.
Well, in 2008, the United States Congress, on a bipartisan basis, created a new spying law called the Five Amendments Act. And what it did was it eliminated the warrant requirement for the U.S. government to eavesdrop on all conversations except ones between Americans domestically. When an American talks to an American, you still need a warrant, but otherwise, when an American talks to somebody outside the U.S., they don't. And what this program does, and that law was reviewed in 2012, what this program does is that when that law was passed, people said, well, how are we going to prevent abuse if
now, I have one question. How does Greenwald know that they are actually doing that? We're now going to take his word for it, but we can't take our own government's word for it. Because I'm Glenn Greenwald, and I'm telling you it's true. Well, first of all, where did he get his information from?
Well, that's the leaker we're talking about.
Right, I understand that. I understand that.
Yeah, no,
but
we've been talking about this for quite a while.
But that doesn't mean that it's true because Glenn Greenwald said it.
Well, I know, but
because just like that man leaked information to him, the man could have gave him false information too.
Well, that's true too.
If he's a leaker, why does he have to give correct information? What's to stop him? Because Glenn Greenwald is not going to know whether it's fake or not.
I know. But
because there's no way for him to check.
Well, here's the thing.
He can't go to the head of the cop and say, is this correct? Or he can't go to another spy and say, is this correct? No. Who's he going to check it with?
Well,
I mean,
the problem with civil secrecy and black operations is you can't check with anything. You can't.
That's right.
Anything.
Absolutely true.
So the reverse of that is there are no checks and limitations.
I understand that. But then we go back to the same thing. We go back to the same point. If there's no checks, who the heck is telling us there's no checks? I'm going to believe someone who is spreading rumors about a covert, top-secret information, and I'm supposed to say, oh, yeah, he's correct, that's right, I know that's true. I mean, it don't fly with me that everything that he says is true. Now, we can go back and say, well, everything that WikiLeaks said was true. Well, are we sure? Are we sure everything he said was true?
Well,
has there been any proof that he said what he said, every word was true? No.
Yeah. Well, my problem is I being the uber liberal here, I think it's all wrong. I don't care if it's after or not. I don't want anybody monitoring, recording, taking care of everything. What I think they should do is, like, have the ability, because we have the ability with all of our technology.
How do you know they have the ability if you don't try it?
No, well, they have the ability. Well, you have the ability with technology to, you know, record and store anything.
So if you have the ability, why aren't you going to use it?
Well, that's the problem.
Then you shouldn't create it.
They will.
But see, why create it if you're not going to use it?
Well, I think, though, you should have an activation, as in there should be very strict, like after an event, you can investigatively go back.
Oh, after 3,000 people were killed, let's do this but to prevent it from happening next time.
That's how you know an event occurred. You can't go in here. This gets into the problem that, you know, Philip K. Dick and stuff wrote about 50 years ago, predicting the police state. He said, when you have this going on, you remember Minority Report.
Right, I know that.
You can take intent and see people starting to do or think about something and preemptively stop them. See, that becomes the problem. How do you know the difference between somebody that's sitting around going, I hate my boss, and the person that goes, I just killed my boss? You know, the difference is the act. And you have to wait for a crime to occur. You can't say that someone is a criminal if they're thinking bad thoughts or typing, you know, bad
emails. You mean we can't throw them in jail because they're thinking evil thoughts?
Look, if you look on anywhere on Facebook or Twitter or any of these stupid emails, you know, any site you go to, there's 90,000 people blowing off about, you know, everything. Lindsay Lohan and her horrible movie or so-and-so, you know, bad politics or something. And it's just junk. It's just people going blah, 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 right? That's what people do. They
write,
and they grumble, and they complain, you know, they talk about things.
And they want to make themselves known, and making themselves known by trading secrets.
The problem is, though, that eventually, you know, somebody gets worked up into a dither and does something like, you know, Mel Ryson to the president. Well, then we go retroactively and find out.
Oh, and you know who that was. Did you hear about who that was?
Yeah. You know. But, again, you find the person after they commit a crime. You don't sit around thinking, like for instance.
Yeah, but what you're saying is, we can't prevent crime. That's true. We can't prevent thoughts from coming out of someone's head.
But problem,
you cannot, to prevent another 9/11, you can't sit idly by and wait for it to happen and not do anything that will try to prevent it from happening.
Well, I
can't do that.
I know, but I think there's
my military thing of me says, hey, I've seen this story before, and I don't want the shock to eat me. I'm going to do something for that shock not to eat me.
Well,
there's one thing, I don't have to go into the water. The second thing is, can the shark come on the land after me? I don't know. But I am not going to be not progressive enough to prevent that shark from doing it again.
Well, to begin with, I think that if we would have had an echelon or anything else in the system, it probably would have mattered because that event was, if not just allowed to happen or whatever.
Oh, let's don't get like Alex Listen. Jones now. Let's don't get like Alex Jones now.
Listen for me. Had so much.
No. Yes, because after the fact we had it.
No, we had it before the fact, and everybody was, you know, asleep at the whistle because the president down on vacation.
Yes, okay. Well, listen, forget him. You know, he was on vacation.
They were having all the, you know, we've seen the data points. They're holding up short. Osama.
But it's because they didn't want to prevent it.
I know, that's what I just said.
But that's not the same thing as sitting around and letting it happen. And not doing something proactive to prevent it from happening.
They had NSA and everybody else sitting there screaming.
That's not the same thing what I'm saying.
We had the FBI. No,
that's not
what the guy's going, look.
Right, I understand that, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, they knew it was happening. But here's the thing. You can't sit by idly and not try to even find out if these things are happening.
That's fine.
Okay, that's all I'm talking about.
I don't think that recording everybody in America nonstop, and I mean, look at the data points on this. Just for instance, it said on this thing, the data points on that, for instance, were that they record all email, all phone calls.
No email. I don't know. Listen, does it say that?
Yeah.
No, read that again.
All
I
Google
know.
Searches.
No,
right?
Listen.
Now listen.
Google's denying it. They're all denying it. Every one of those companies tonight. And I know, you know, they're in trouble. They're in trouble with the people who are supporting them if they don't deny it. I mean, who's Internet Explorer? They deny it. Google denied it. Microsoft is denied it. We have nothing to do with them. We're not letting them stick their fingers, as Greenwald said, into the computer database.
Right.
Now,
here comes,
so that means they're lying now, too.
Again,
they're all co-conspirators.
Well, here comes the problem. Well, you know, hey, if you're all in together again, why not? But anyway, the problem is, again, an attempt. If following your life, you know, you got a recorded mind, think about everything and all this.
Right.
Think about the last presidential election. We had all these Tea Partiers and Yahoo guys going screaming about the president, about how they hated him and all that. You know, one better than the pride from my cold, dead hand. You had all the NRA guys, including our favorite, we just mentioned a minute ago, Ted Nugent, who was claiming, you know, literally, if this guy gets elected, I'm going to be dead or in prison. You remember? I mean, these are direct.
I'll be dead or in prison. But he's neither.
A direct statement, yes, but that's a direct statement. If we're going to live in a police state, that would be ample cause to be a threat, would it not? You've got a guy pledging to kill the guy.
Well, that's because we know he's a punk. They weren't considering him anything.
Exactly.
He's a punk. He's got these. He's a punk. He's a liar. If he had a gun in his hand, he probably would wet his pants.
Yes, but here's the problem. Again, where is the line? See, that's an arbitrary.
Yes, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know. You're looking at the line. I understand.
And when you go out into the, you know, hinterland and you're recording 500 billion people at once, and then you turn around and say, okay, which one? Who determines who's the punk?
Yes, but you got a lot of things you're asking in there. But let's deal with forget about who determines. That's another story, because that's a whole nother package. First of all, before they determine who they get, can they get? It should be the first question here. Now, the president said today, he said, we are not tracking emails. Forget that. Now, you may say, no, that's not true. He is tracking you. But he said, yes. But why? Because I think he's doing it. That's what you're assuming he's doing it. You don't know he's doing it.
Well,
he's doing anybody call you? Anybody call you?
Anything.
Well.
He's just the figurehead.
Clapper. Oh, let's take Clapper. I don't think Clapper is doing it. I think, now, let me rephrase that. I think Clapper is doing what is necessary to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he's definitely, if this is anything like a person of interest, and they didn't build that whole big thing that we all know about now underground in Utah, which is, it's probably in Santa Monica underground. It's not in Utah. That was a misdirection. But that isn't there.
Well,
to store phone numbers.
50 years from now, we'll find out that the hotel.
Yeah, there was a Marriott down the block on the ground, right.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they are taking a place that is, it's bigger than the Pentagon, under 10 stories underground, just to store phone numbers. Anybody believe that is a complete moron.
Right.
Now, I know that if they're already talking about it on personal interest, they're already doing it.
Right.
I mean, please. They've been on for three years now. I mean, so they've been doing it for 7 years.
Right.
Yeah, it was past Bush. They were doing it before Bush got in there.
That's what I was
saying. So, you know.
Said Bush and them just codified it into
the law. Right. That's what they did.
They're already doing it.
Right, all right. But the thing is, though, the question is not whether or not they're doing it, is whether or not they're taking it and they're saving it for ulterior motives. Now, the thing is, should they be doing this in the first place is one question.
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is, are they storing it and not letting it go for 30 days, like you said? That's another question. The third question would be is, why are we worried about it? What does this mean to us that they got this information stored? Now, hey, I think that we are not being this information is every single person in the entire country, United States, is information is not being stored there because there's nothing. You know, it's just like if you listen to the person of interest, they said keywords kick you off. There's no keywords that you and I or anybody else that I know has been saying. Well, maybe I do. I might know some people, but, you know.
Let me tell you the problem. This is the problem I have. And not to get, you know, back into, you know, what's nefarious or not now, but when I don't trust anyone to always do the right thing.
All right.
That's why you have to have strict laws to protect people. Because eventually,
right.
You know, administration
right,
change,
right. We're missing.
Dumb fugly gets in.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we just saw, even earlier, we're just sitting here talking about someone took the IRS, you know, code book of how to handle calls and changed the word, and now they're using that as the directive is different than the law. We call the directive.
Oh,
the code,
yes.
Again, that gets down to. Somewhere along the line, one person did something, changed something, but it changed everything, right? Now it affects all of our government and it's affecting our elections and everything else, by the way, that was run. Because now every group that, you know, says, well, I gave $5 to a kid on the street, I'm a charity. Bull. But anyway.
I agree with what you said there.
You get this overarching system going. You cannot trust it to always be done correctly or well or fairly or anything else. And I'll give you a good example. During the Bush years, and this is one of the reasons they actually kind of changed. You remember they modified the USA Patriot Act and clarified a lot of this when they renewed it, made it strictly.
Yeah, well, that was the time when Comey went to the bedside of what's
the
name? Right.
Yeah, well, the reason was also that the Bush years, when they first were doing it, they were abusing the living daylights out of
it. Well, yeah, because Bush did not give it to the FISA court or go to Congress. Bush did it to an executive order.
Yeah.
So that was the thing there.
And the executive order was called Dick Cheney.
And then when it was found out, they said, no, you can't do this. You can't do this.
That's why they put in the safeguards, to try to make it fair, because it was being abused.
Right.
But then again, from its inception, it was being abused. That's my problem.
Well, I know the inception. I think that, you know, when it was starting, I think that's when it was abused.
The problem, though, is, again, when we get to intent.
Yeah, right. Okay.
During the Bush years, you remember, there was, during the elections, they were getting mad about different things, blah, 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 blah. And some of the, you know, when we were running during the campaigns and all, they came out and made some outrageous statements and claims, one of which, one of my favorites, because it happens to affect me and my family, but was on education. You remember his own choice for the Department of Education said that all teachers and teacher unions were terrorists.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, I know, it sounds funny now, ha, ha, ha. But anyway, they didn't really do that because they were trying to shut down and break up the union.
That's right.
When you have, and this is not just a Yahoo guy, that was the appointed head of the department, the official administration choice, saying things like that. And these guys are running a spy operation trying to find terrorists and protect Americans. I don't have any confidence at all. If you're calling a group of terrorists, then you aren't spying and using your powers and your everything else to break or monitor said group.
Okay, well, then, if that's the case, then, I understand.
Then we need strict laws to protect.
Okay, so England, they have MI5. MI5's job is to do exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
Their job is to spy on anything that walks, crawls inside the country.
Well, they
do it over there. Why are they permitted to do it and we're not? Well, we're saying it's the same thing.
I don't think they should be permitted.
Well, you see now, but is it the same thing? How do people feel in England about it?
Oh, well, I don't think anybody likes a well-land state. But anyway, here's the thing. Just because you have, you know, CCTV TV on every single corner, it doesn't make it good or fair. Right.
Does it make you safe?
And it doesn't. And I'll tell you why. There was a great case of this. You remember back when they were having riots and issues or whatever going on, and then there was an incident where the police, the British police, boarded one of the trains, and they killed a guy. Okay? And all the witnesses said he was innocent. He was innocent. Yeah, and it was found out that he was. He wasn't anything related to the guy. They thought he was a thug. They were chasing our criminal or whatever because he was misidentified. Just killed a student or whatever.
Mm.
And they said he was beaten and shot.
Shot.
Okay.
I mean, shot with a gun?
Yeah, I think the killer. Beat him and shot.
Oh, the killer did?
No, the
police did. Well,
that's what the witnesses said. Now, here's the thing. When it went to court, they had all the TV cameras, everything. But they had him tracked for streets. They had him going down the subway stations. They showed him boarding the trains, everything else. The train video, and there were like five of them, all were said to somehow malfunctioned and erased all the data. And they couldn't provide the data.
Alex Jones?
Well, no, but listen, this was, no, sir. So they got up kind of this whole thing about, oh, well, there was a mistake.
That sounds like a story from TV.
No, it's.
But, hey, it could be. Right?
The point is, if you don't have strict laws controlling the controllers, then there is a problem.
Okay, but how do you control the controllers?
You've got to have those strict laws.
Yeah, but well, why would a controller listen to a strict law? The guys at the IRS ain't listening.
No, but
they changed it.
No, he's following his little handbook.
Okay, so now they kill somebody. I'm just going to follow. I'm going to kill him, too. I'm going to kill him twice.
This is my point. Again, if you have all the surveillance, all this, everything else, it better be strictly controlled and honestly controlled.
Yes, I understand, but for what I just said, that'll make it so real. Because just because it's a strict law, that does not mean that shit don't happen.
Well, okay. Well, then
and you know, Tisha, I worry, shit happens. Say, hey, let's say there's a, oh, we got a call. Oh, she left. Where's she going? Okay, so let me call her back. And we had a, call us back, please. Oh, there you are. Okay. Yes. Hello there. Who's this?
Good afternoon. This is Diane Little.
Hello, Diane Little, Vice Chair of the 8th Congressional District in North Kakalaki.
North Carolina, that's correct. And I live in Union County, in one of the 12 counties of the 8th District.
That's not one of like the 12 tribes, is it?
It
has nothing to do with that. Oh, gee. Okay. were you listening to any of our conversation? I saw you work because I saw you on there before.
Yes, I did listen to some of it, not much because I was en route. And
I am.
Yeah, I'm sorry to call a little late. I don't know. I think that when you begin to peel away at the rights of individuals, you can't return that skin. And I think we need to be very careful that if we are, and now we are, this is a new type of war that we're fighting as a country. We're under terrorist auspices where things do happen and things have happened. And we've been sort of desensitized to the overall danger of it. And so whatever the government has to do to keep us safe is nice, and it makes you be able to go to bed at night. But you have to be careful. There are some things that come with whatever the government has to do. And I just believe that when you start peeling off rights, you start disenfranchising the rights of all Americans, and our country lives and struggles to be different and to have the rights of the individual be a paramount condition.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct, and I agree with you. Say I agree with what Thomas says too. The only thing where I am trying to be agitator and but also trying to be realistic that you know, the genie just didn't jump out of a bottle last week.
That's
the
right.
The genie jumped out of a bottle back in 1945. Or 1939.
You go way past my consciousness.
Matter of fact, 1776. The genie has been jumping out of a bottle on time now. Now, the thing is, since the genie jumps out of a bottle all the time, every time it does, we're facing a new crisis and a new way of fighting that genie. And when we're fighting this genie, It ain't like the genie from 1776. We need a new methodology in fighting this genie. And if we stick to the same methodology, like they did in World War One, where they're trench warfare, where they just said, okay, they blew the whistle, and you jumped up out of the trench, and you ran across the barren plain, and we came back with 4,000 casualties just on that first run at the enemy. So we need to be able to sit and look and try to understand how we need to fight this battle. And is the battle going to be fought from the front lines, or is it going to be fought in our living room? If it's fought in our living room, what methodologies do we have to prevent it from being a disaster? Because you know as well as I do that if it's fought in our living room, it's not going to be pretty.
That's true. So that's very true.
Is the methodology that we're using, this covert secret methodology that we're using, is it worth everything that we are going to put up to prevent it from happening? Is it worth everything? You know, the thing, and everybody knows the phrase, you know, is our liberty worth it? Are we giving up, is it worth giving up some of our liberty for security? That's a very tough question. You know, in 1776, if you asked that of a person, they would have said, hell no. They would have said, no, liberty is not worth giving up for security.
You know what they say, man? Hell no.
No, they say, hell yes.
No.
No. Now, the thing is that how much security do they want us to give up? And how much will it cost us down the road when we give it up? See, in 1776, it didn't cost us jack down the road because the road was bushes. We didn't go down the road. But today, we go down the road. We drive down the road. We fly down the road. So it's a different whole scenario of today's society. We're almost intergalactic society. We're almost there.
Intergalactic part.
That's right. Just minus the intergalactic part. So the thing is that are we going to now say, well, I don't know if this is, they're learning too much about me. They know what shoe size I wear. They know if I have a song with a bullet. I mean, they know everything about us. Well, they know everything about society. I mean, this ain't 1776 anymore.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, though. There is a lot of information that the government or whomever does already know about us individually. And
it's already. Well, what don't these people say? They know every single thing about us. Every time we go to the store and they scan a Fruit of the Loom underwear, they know what size you're wearing.
That's right.
Every time you go in and buy a pack of cigarettes and it's scanned, they know what you're smoking. This is after the fact now. The horse is out of the barn. The horse has been, the horse ain't down the street no more. The horse is in Kansas. So they're saying that, hey, you know, we have a problem now. These people know too much about us. That's a bunch of crap. They already know about us. What more can they know about me? Now, is it the question that we don't know about them? Is that what we're actually saying? We don't know what they
do. I think people don't realize that.
Are you saying that? We don't know. I say, we don't know what they do. But they know about us already.
They
know all of us. They know when we went to the movies.
They know about us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they know about us, and we are giving out the information freely.
Free.
We apply for credit cards at a counter. We allow people to take our information into a registrar when we purchase, I don't know, everything from a washing machine to a car. They have to know everything about us, and they ask you for references, which means they're going to find out about your friends. So most of the information that they already have, we freely give them.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't remember the last time I used cash. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, still enough. I was out at Mark gas station, and I only had $2 in my pocket. So I went in, and I only needed $5 for my grandson to get some gum. So I went in there, used my credit card, got $20 out, and bought some gum, which was $1.89. Now, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
What? They know there isn't one single thing that I can say that these spies who are spying on us need to have from me. They got it all. Ain't nothing.
Yeah, I think they just want to hold on to the last vestiges of some sort of
evidence. There ain't no last. One last. What last? What do they? What am I trying to keep from them? What do I am trying to keep from
the
government?
Here's a counter.
Yes,
Mike. To flip it on its head, what do you value that you have as a freedom or a right left? If it's going to make it safe and somebody can get it, then why not just universally monitor everything that you ever do? Your TV, your email, your phone calls, your everything, record everything, because sometime in the future, somehow you might commit a crime or might do something wrong. So go ahead and store everything.
Who? They store or me store?
Whoever, the government, whatever. Just have the universal.
But they're doing it now.
Yeah. So
but they're doing it now.
Just have their internet rights.
Huh?
Is that? There are no rights. There's no privacy.
There. Well, there is no more privacy. No, there is no more privacy. They know what TV show I'm watching right now. I watch a Hardball. Got it on mute. I'm on the internet right now.
But don't you think?
They know.
Don't you think, though, that you should?
Yes, because you're absolutely correct. But the thing is that 20 years ago, I wasn't thinking about that when I first gave them my credit card. Now, if I was thinking about that 20 years ago, I said, they don't need to notice. But it was so new and fancy. It was so alluring. It's like that gorgeous woman that's sitting out there in a bikini on the beach, and she's waving her finger and saying, come, come. And you say, who, me?
Well,
and you say, right on.
Again, I don't
then she turns into
just because
Osama bin Laden. I mean, what do you want?
Just because it can be all
yes. No. No one's saying it should. But the problem is, it is.
Yes,
now, are we trying to save this for our future generations? It's too late, because my grandson's already got his footprint and everything logged and catalyzed. What he went to when he was born. It's too late for him.
Yeah.
Well,
now, maybe we should prevent his grandson or his son. Let's say, hey, Blake, don't give away your footprints and don't get a credit card because that's too late. He's out there right now shopping. They go to McDonald's. You think that's not going to the computer?
Yeah, but again, I just think that there's some kind of an endless creep.
Yes, yes.
You know, now
you're absolutely correct.
They're voting that they can DNA swab anybody they shop for anything. And just check it. Just right
now. That is, we're going to get to that, too. But, hey, did you hear about that, Diane?
What?
About the job? That now the government says that they have the right
to
ask you for a swab if you're pulled over for any incident.
That's
a little too far.
A little too far. Okay, so now, how do we prevent that? Can we say, all right, we want on June 7th, 2013, no more swabs of our children ever again?
Well, why not? That reminds me of that movie that Tom Cruise was in, where they anticipated that you would commit a crime.
Well, yeah, which is report. But the problem is, as I was saying before, we're already lost. So it's just like that movie where, you know, what was the word? Deep Impact. You know, the baby was born, and the what's his face, Yoda, or whatever his name was, he's riding on the motorcycle. He went back for the girl, and they're running. They said, no, take the baby too, because we're not going to make it. I mean, you know, look, these people, the problem that I find with this, all this nonsense is that these people are trying to do this to save their own butts because the government's spying on them. They're so brain dead. The government already has every single thing. Know how many freaking brain cells
yes,
you have left.
Yes, too late. They can call you. They can call you and tell you about yourself.
Absolutely. You call your phone. Hello? U.S. government.
Yeah.
It's time for you to go to bed. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Yes, you shouldn't forget, because then you will get enough rest, then you won't be able to do your radio show, then you'll be tired, and then you'll complain. Then you have to go to a doctor, you have to get some Xanax, you might have to get some gabapentin, you might have to get something else for your nerves. So go to bed now.
Yeah.
Forget this.
I think it's a round debate.
Oh, well, see, there you go. The government's just...
Maybe the government is doing me a favor by telling me when it's time to go to bed.
You're babysitting.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I'm babysitting my grandson, and they're babysitting me.
You know what that's like?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Big brother that's always there.
Right.
Watch over you.
I was going to come to that.
The big brother, yeah, 1984.
You remember the TV show about 30 years ago? It was called Project Forbin.
Oh.
Remember that? Project Forbin, Forbin. Look it up.
Yeah.
You get in there. Project Forbin was about, I forgot the star that was in it. He's on one of the daily soap operas, tall, thin guy. Anyway, so what happened was that they would create this computer, and the computer was going to.
Is this the movie?
It was a movie. It was made for TV.
And Colossus the Forbin.
Colossus the Forbin Project,
yeah.
Correct. Anyway, so what he did was the United States thought that this was the only supercomputer in the entire world. And he said, as soon as we get
Eric,
the computer done, you know who?
Eric Braden.
Yeah, Eric Braden, right. And as soon as they were going to close it in the deep, one of the deepest parts in Colorado in the ground. And then he was going to close the door, go outside, turn on the key, and this computer would work by itself, continue for the rest of humanity. And what happened was that they said, well, this computer will be able to send every single missile we have at any missile, oncoming missile, and we will be safe. It's going to be like an umbrella.
Okay.
Okay, so what happened? A problem occurs. The Russians were making a computer similar to it. And when they went back to the computer room, control room, turned on Forbin, the Colossus, it started going through all the computations. Blah, 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 blah. It said it's going to take like 20 minutes or 30 minutes for it to be fully up to speed. And then when the girl and the guy, Braden, they were walking around playing patty cake and, you know, it was all blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, the computer, they asked it, it's time for it to ask the computer the first question to see if the computer was up and running. And they answered the question. They asked it, we want you to count backwards in some kind of a numeric system. And Colossus says, there is another computer.
Warren, there is another computer.
Yeah, Warren, there is another computer. Yeah, wow, this thing must be, okay. Hey, call the creator in here, Forbin.
There's the name Colossus, and the Soviet one was called Guardian.
Guardian, right, right.
And they demanded to...
talk to one another.
To
right. So they wanted to, they demanded that they talk to one another. They found these computers were linked. So the people in Russia were saying, hey, we can't control ours. And the people in the U.S. saying, we can't control ours. They want to talk to one another. So then they said, so wait a minute, how do they know about this one? How do they know about this one? Well, they knew about each other. How did they know about each other? Holy cow, there's something wrong here. Anyway, so after both systems started talking to one another, and they both linked up, and they started talking in ones and zeros and all the other nonsense. They said, we want to speak to Foreman. And that's what both computers said. We want to speak to Foreman. So when they go there, before it goes, they said, Colossus, let's tell you, we want you to shut down Guardian. He said, what do you mean we want to shut down Guardian? First of all, how did you know about Guardian? And he said, never mind that. Shut down Guardian. And if you don't shut down Guardian, we're going to launch 5 ICBMs at Russia. And he said, what? Shut that thing off. And so when they tried to shut it off, Guardian got control of the FBI and the people that went to stop the computer were shot by the FBI. They had no control of the FBI now. So then they said, you're right. So the machines, you know, they started telling one another what they wanted to do. We don't need these many IBMs. You don't need that many IBMs. So we're getting rid of our IBMs. And then after all the things were shut down, and this is what happened, Colossus told them, you need to get rid of the Guardian. And they launched the missiles at Guardian, and it told Guardian to put down its defenses, and Guardian was wiped out. Well, the problem is here that Colossus was smarter than Guardian. So they said, holy cow, how come? He said, brilliant. So Guardian says, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to control everything now. I'm in charge.
Here, by the way, is what the website says. The machine, which was so far been communicating only with the American and Soviet government, and they had been hiding their actions from the public to protect from public fallout, right? Then, ceased to deal with the government and announced itself on a general broadcast to the entire population of the world that they were the voice of world control.
They are the voice of world control.
And it said that its mission was to protect mankind, to end all war, and to bring peace. So, at the end, when they're complaining about this overlordship, the computer says, freedom is just an illusion. And that in time, you will come to regard me not only with respect and awe, but with love.
That's right. That whole paragraph came at the very end of the story when Foreman, they were trying to get away, they were doing all sorts of stuff, and he says, I can't live like this. He says, why don't you just kill me? He says, no, I can't kill you. You're my creator, and you're the smartest one. So they kill all the Russian guys. They wipe them all out.
We know how the story ends.
Oh, yeah. Well, they went to the island.
Another couple hundred years from now, we have Captain Kirk.
Oh.
Finally fights the computer.
Right, and wins. Right.
Creator.
Right. Oh, yes, I saw that. Yeah. Anyway, but the thing is, so he says that he was building an island someplace where he could be stored and a new computer that was smarter than him, and then that's where Foreman and his love interest were going to stay. He said, because I don't want anything to happen to you because you're my creator.
You're pop.
But you will grow to love me. Okay.
Growing to love Echelon and Prism and all the other oversight. Are you loving it, Mike? You're telling me you've grown to love? Slide upon 24 hours. Don't you feel safe?
I've been loving them for 60 years.
Oh, no!
They've been in control for 60 years. What are you saying?
Well, I would like to.
This is a problem. Hey, do you think this is a new episode? Do you think that hadn't been working on since 1950 or 1945 when the atomic bomb or the hydrogen bomb was first introduced? Do you think they weren't doing this then, Thomas? Do you actually think? Of course they were working on it then. But so they had us fooled then.
Point is.
I don't want to
live in a dictatorship, and I don't want to live in a surveillance state. I want to live in freedom, Michael.
Well, you know, but suppose they say to you,
we are living under surveillance. If you go to Florida, they actually have cameras in the street.
Oh yeah, they got cameras in the street. New York would 20 years.
Yeah, everywhere now.
Every big city has cameras in the street. That's nothing.
Even where they don't have streets with poles with cameras, we have these nifty things called satellites floating around.
Or we have spies.
That's why you have to... No, that's why you have to hold anything you're reading like this so they can read.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do say that. Hold it, like, straight out. So you can... So the thing is now...
By the way, let me interrupt this with a very important broadcast. And I just wanted this to be for my wife to remind everyone listening.
Yes.
Today is National Free Donut Day.
Free? Oh, I thought you said National Freedom Day.
Don't forget to go out and support your local donut business.
Local donut business.
That helps the local economy.
Absolutely. Well, are we supposed to help the local economy? I mean, is that in is that in our DNA? We have to ask the guy. Whoever is watching today, is that in my DNA? I didn't know.
I'm just doing my patriotic.
I'm doing my patriotic duty.
So supported donuts.
That's right. So the thing is, Diane, what do you think? I mean, we're now in a completely surveillance society in the United States, not like we weren't if we go to Europe. They're spying on, and when you look, they're looking at you. They may not have trench coats. Hey, but that lady smiled at me. I wonder why she did that. You know, you never know. Could be the little kid. Could be the little kid. So, Diane, what you think? Hello, Diane. Are you there? Are you there?
It's just me, Colossus.
It's...
And you're going to love me.
You're going to love me. Oh, my gracious Lord.
That reminds me of my favorite quote.
Diane, you need to hang up and call us back because we lost you.
Yeah. So my favorite quote of this time is 2001.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the show. And then he just says, hey, you know, gotta do this. And the computer just says,
can't do that, Dave.
That's the scary thing. That's what I say. One day, I'll say, hey, I have the right to do it. And they'll say, I'm sorry.
No, you don't have the right. You don't have the right. I need to play this for you because we have been talking and I don't want to leave out. I hope George is listening. I don't want to leave out his number one person of all time. Just listen.
Hey, how about the knowledge man? We do some reading and reading and answering and staring and going, yeah. That's right. Let me tell you, I've seen plus and he should be
now, yes, it is. It is pick on A Rod. Let's play one more thing here. Missing putts, missing dartboards. But there is Alex Rodriguez, man for all seasons. That's A-Rod. Yes. Let's see if I can get up something here for A-Rod. I thought I had something else on A-Rod here, which I saw. Where was it at? Let me look in here. Let's see here. A-Rod, no, that's not it either. Where are you, A-Rod? A-Rod, where are you? Star 54, where are you? I am looking for him, and I can't find him at all. I don't know what he did. Well, I had something on A-Rod.
You know, times like these, I say we defer back to the great master.
Great master.
George Carlin.
Wonderful quote, please. Well, here's his. Oh, boy. How come I don't have this on here? I know I had it here. Why don't I have it here? And you know, I think because, where's it at? I think it might be on here. I might have saved it on here. Let me look on here. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. When we had nothing.
That's right. That's true. Very true. Yes, of course. So it didn't say any of the. Oh, it didn't say any of my. Let's see if I sent something to the PDA here. It's just incredible. I had all the stuff, and I put it in here, and maybe where did I send it? I sent it somewhere. Well, okay. Let's see. We don't have any dead air here. Let me play something else. That's not it right there either.
Much like the Hydra, I'll just say that we continue to let the surveillance state grow new tentacles. You know, we're never going to get rid of the monster.
Never going to get rid of the monster, huh?
Yeah. I think that I understand security, and it should be,
okay.
You know, we should be safe. But there's also just the fact that, like, every time I go to an airport, I'm like, why do we have to shuffle around in our socks?
In our socks? Oh.
And nude photography, the CSA agency. I don't get it. It doesn't make us any safer, but what it does do is instill the, you live in a terror state. Just like the, you know, you see the rainbow coating they had every day on the news. Remember, they did that
yeah.
for the entire Bush administration. We're living in the rainbow terror code today. What is it? Salmon? I don't know what
color it
is. Well,
yes. Let me use it. I didn't have all. I got all 10 down on another computer, but these are some of the reasons. Some of the 10 excuses Alex Rodriguez has given for his situation. Number 10. Read somewhere you drink 10 glasses of steroids every day. Number 8. Hey, this is only my second strike. Number 7. Ask myself, what would Lance Armstrong do? Number 2, you try and keep track of every needle that goes into your ass. And number one excuse Alex Rodriguez has, it was a cry for help, like dating Madonna. So that's some of his 10 excuses. Yes, it was a cry for help when he was dating Madonna.
There is a guy.
There's a guy that needs to.
Master. At,
he was the master, all right.
Tweaking the system, but evading
detection. Tweaking the system?
Yeah.
Is that where the play works? I got that. That was very good. All right. So now where is are you still with? Did you hear that? Are you back? Diane, are you back? Okay. So we'll let's see if we can. Oh, I know what we'll do. I'll cut her off and then she'll call back. Okay, go ahead.
Just because every phone, you know, has a nifty camera and
mm-hmm.
can be recorded. And
right.
Your computer can be used. And all that. I think, again, until the event occurs, like, you know, with the brothers.
Grim?
No, it was Grim, but the brothers, you know.
Okay.
Those two dudes, they blew up the Boston Marathon. And then the police, the government, everybody raced in. They quickly asked for public help. They got video. They got pictures of the scene. They got everything else. And they saw who did it. And then they tracked backwards, where to trace them, you know, follow them to a house, whatever. And then start the search. And then they ran and chased them through the streets. And then shot them to pieces, you know. And literally tried to shoot them to pieces. I thought there should have been an ineptness award at the end, because when they had the guy trapped in the boat and they had the heat surveillance of him and everything else, you see, they shot that thing like 200 times. You see the holes in the side of that boat?
Well, they were a good shot.
Missed him because he was behind the engine. I'm like,
they missed him, right?
Yeah, it's like they hurt him. You know, they shot him a little bit and he was bleeding, but they didn't kill him. They were trying to kill him. They shot him for like 20 minutes and they couldn't kill him, and then they had to go in and drag him out because he's in there crying.
Yeah, no more better stuff.
My point was, they didn't. All the surveillance in the world, and we have had surveillance. Like you said, by law, we've had surveillance since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
If all the surveillance of the most powerful companies and countries and military and government and spy agencies in the entire world can't prevent things like that from happening, when they have these guys, even on the terror watch list, they have already been investigated from all the trips back home to, well, not to Russia, but to Chechnya and everywhere else they were. If they couldn't prevent it, then it doesn't work, and there's no reason to do it. What they did was, after an event, they raced, put together the pieces of the puzzle like any good detective would, and solved a crime. Okay? But with all the preventative, everything else going on, they didn't solve it. They didn't prevent it. And again, I don't think you should prevent it.
You know, I have all this right here, all the papers. Right here.
Well, there you go. But my point is, if you look at it, like say him and all his buddies sitting around in college were all bitching and moaning about the United States and saying how horrible we were,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we hate, maybe, you know, because of the Republican tools in Congress saying things to give them this reason, but maybe they're sitting around saying, hey, they hate Arabs or something.
Right.
We need to do something and strike back. All that's just talk. And it isn't actually criminal, right?
Right.
Until they put the backpack down and detonated that bomb. That was the criminal act.
So,
you know,
well, no, you're saying so building a bomb for peace is not a criminal act? Yes, it is.
Well, yeah, they're building the bomb. Would have been, but
that's criminal.
Well, then they should have been stopped then if they have the surveillance.
But they didn't have surveillance.
They do. We've had it since 2011.
No.
We surveil everything.
No. They have surveillance in the house.
Again.
They, you know,
I'm just saying, they even had major warning flags. His mother and himself were on the terror watch list. Had already been on there, and then had been taken back off because they couldn't say they had any data on them. They had been being monitored. They were in contact with all these radical imams and all this other stuff. So they were even far more advanced, if you will, in the danger signs than almost any regular citizen. But again, not a single thing happened to prevent anything. So it failed utterly. All the surveillance in the world didn't work. In that case,
yes, but see, here's the problem. Because you're taking one event that didn't work, and you're saying, because this one event didn't work, you got to stop it all. That's just like saying, you are saying that. You say you need to stop it because this one event didn't work. That's just like saying, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I went to the daggone to the store and left my wallet on the table, and I came back and it wasn't there. I'll never shop at those stores again because they're all criminal. And then the one time I did, I left my wallet in the store, food line, right down the block. I went back there and said, we have your wallet here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine.
So that one time.
Hey, all it took was one time.
I understand.
The government went and said, you all have to hunker down in fear, and we're going to. Patriot Act, and we're going to live under terror watch. List every day, and we're going to have color-coded events to see if you can even...
Yes, but you see, that was stopped.
It went on for years.
Yeah, it went on for three, 4 years.
It wasn't stopped at all. That's what made it law, one event.
Well, yes, but you... So
I'm just saying, the next big event, which shut down one of our major cities in a complete martial law lockdown...
You're using keywords like they are. Martial law.
I'm pointing out a fact, though. That was a major event. They called it, in which I totally disagree with, a use of mass destruction. Is what they're calling those events.
Well, what?
It's bullshit. It's not mass destruction. That should be something like a nuclear weapon, not a bomb that injured. Even at the max, there's only a few people injured.
Yeah. World Trade Center?
No.
Okay, all right.
The World Trade Center, they brought
that. Right. The only reason why they're saying that is so the feds could get involved.
Of course.
That's right.
And that's what I'm saying. They, you know, you're talking about playing with things. It is, you know, again, when there's an event like 9/11.
Well, the feds didn't call a weapon mass destruction. That's what Boston guys did.
Well, again, they, you know, but you can't have it both ways. Just like saying, well, if that's a major event and a major terror attack and everything else, we didn't prevent it with all the surveillance.
Well, but yeah, but you see, but you can't have it both ways. You can't say it's a
couple of, you know, lunatic lone losers that.
Yes, that's what it was. This was not a terrorist bombing.
Right.
I agree, 100%.
But again, it's used all the time in the media.
The media shouldn't set the standard. It doesn't set the standard. They set the standard because we sit and look at them. And the government's not going to prevent them from doing it.
Yes, but the government also is implicit in because they use these types of things to continue the need.
I understand that. But
so
you cannot say, because we didn't catch them this time, we need to stop it. Because we didn't stop 5,000 children from getting polio because Salt was sleeping in his bed and didn't get out soon enough. He could have prevented it if he would have pushed this thing a little hotter and stayed up maybe 3 more days. He could have got it. Dr. Salt was working his butt off. You can't say that because he didn't do it now that it didn't save us. This guy killing one person, that's just like saying, another example is that if I'm the one that's going to be targeted and shot by somebody because I'm left-handed and black, so they shot me. Well, does that mean that everybody left-handed and black will get shot? No. And they don't have to protect me because that ain't going to happen to everybody. But you because they didn't get it done that one time, you can't use that for a reason why they will never get it done right.
Well,
that's too far. That's too far over the other side. I could go someplace halfway in between, but I can't. That's too far out.
Well, I find the whole thing too far out. I mean, the whole excuse of every time there's an attack is we have to completely give up our liberties and be monitored 24/7. Like, look,
That's
not my checks. Little Thomas here, living in North Carolina from Mississippi, didn't do a damn terrorist thing ever, right? But yet I'm living under the complete spy apparatus brought about by Al-Qaeda guys
right.
from Afghanistan.
Right. Is that your fault?
Right.
Of course.
I haven't done anything, but yet I'm living under the
right, but
monitor.
Well, you should have been born sooner so you could protest it sooner because those guys, it ain't your fault, it ain't my fault, but we see now that our parents didn't do their job because they should have been protesting this a long time ago because this has been going on for 50, 60 years. Are
you
right?
You have to start somewhere.
But we did not know. We did not know when to protest and when. No, yes, you give a guy a little inch. And sometimes they take a mile. No, not sometimes. They always take a mile.
Yeah.
Okay? So the thing is, and this is what these ever aggressive parties are saying, we can't give this because if you give it to them, it's going to be unbelievable. They'll just run rampant and do whatever the heck they want. Yes, this has been the case. Yes, you're absolutely right. This has been the case what people do. You give them an inch, you take it. Now, I tell you what, when I was growing up, I was never like that. If my parents gave me something, I'd say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mommy. And I know, my brother Dennis.
Oh, yeah, poor Dennis.
Dennis wouldn't take a mile. He'd take 10 miles.
Mm.
So sometimes people just don't want to go that little bit. They want to see how far they can push the envelope. That's what it is. So when do you determine when to close that envelope where that person can't do that? Because there's going to be people who are going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
There's going to be people who are going to say, no, I don't want to. I'll take one Coke each. The guy's taking 50.
Of course. That's with everything. You know? However, you've got to have, that's why you have to have strict laws, oversight, very strict.
But you see, there's no such thing as a strict law, because the person who's supervising it, you know.
Well, that's the application of said law, and then you've got to have accountability.
Now we're talking. You have accountability. Forget the strict law. Strict law is only good as the person who supports it.
You've got to have the accountability, right? Because
that's what you got to have. Right, okay.
So
but the thing is, you have accountability where You chop off the guy's hands.
Okay.
Now, that's what they do in Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
Chop off. Hey, I didn't mean to steal that. Don't worry about it. You won't steal it no more because we're chopping off that hand. All right. Yes, that's right. That's why they call him Stumps. And he's walking around with the hand he used to wipe his butt with.
Well, look,
and he did over.
Here's the thing. They need to have strict accountability in how these things are done. There needs to be some kind of process where
okay.
This can be addressed and taken care of and stopped.
Ah, FISA court.
Well, you hope. But is it viable and working? And do we know? I mean, we keep finding here.
Obama says it's working.
You know, just like. You and every war and everywhere else you've been there before, you know, mission creep and other things. Things just happen.
Well, and the reason is because that when the first bullet is fired, nothing, your plans go out the door.
Yes.
It's always the case.
Yes.
First bullet. Forget it. It's changed now. The whole war strategy has changed.
Yes.
So, as the president said, I agree with you 1,000%, and you show me all the films you want in your entire arsenal before about me preaching it before I became a senator. But when I got into the Oval Office, and the first briefing I got from the NSA showed me, I said, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I thought went out the door.
Yeah. Well, here's.
So what do you say then?
My last. Reading these stats, since 9/11,
yeah.
Worldwide,
right.
The number of people who have been killed by directly identified Islamic terrorism and terror attacks, 37, worldwide.
Right.
That's
over. Who's taking the statistics?
This is just in the world stats. I'm just
but who is taking those statistics?
I don't give a
I'm just saying, us, or...
You know, we were talking about this just the other day. There have been 10 times that many killed by guns just since they shot all the children in that elementary school here in the United States, right? But on the one hand, due to terrorism, supposedly, we have a complete erection of spy apparatus in America. We must spy on you 24/7 all day long to prevent the possibility of a crime of terrorism. However,
do you actually believe
then get people to register guns in this country? We can't even have any kind of sensible anything. You know, they have the ability to, for instance, they've had this for years. You could have every gun typed to the owner by either fingerprint or DNA where it will not even fire unless the owner's.
Right, absolutely.
They could.
Why should they do that? Then they won't be able to sell guns.
Serial number on everything. You know everything.
But why would they do that when they couldn't sell any more guns?
Yeah, you could go and have every bullet identified.
Right, but why would they do that when they wouldn't sell any more guns? And today, you know, people aren't buying more guns. It's the same people buying more guns.
Exactly. But here we go. I'm just saying, you can't. It's a completely disconnected. Theory to reality system we got that, you know, when we kill, you know, a few people, you have to go run screaming with your hair on fire and start spying on your neighbors and turning your mail over and making sure that every phone call is recorded. But if you're just blowing people away willy-nilly, like,
Right. I agree what you're saying. But you see, but it's not realistic to believe 37 people have been killed. Now, I wouldn't believe that in 1,000 years.
Well,
the thing is, and where did that stat come from? Here's the problem. You can't read stats. It's just like they're saying they did what Gresham Pryor does. They read stats. Oh, yeah, can't you see? This has got to be true. I don't believe that. There was more people killed in Syria last night than 37 people.
Yeah. So, again, that's a civil war. It's nothing to do with terrorism.
The terrorists do it.
So, in this country, if you just look at the numbers, so why isn't that then a priority? Don't we have a priority on solving all the homicides and crimes of Americans against Americans? Nothing to do with Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, but...
We're blowing each other away.
Hey, you wouldn't need policemen. You wouldn't need... Oh, that's one thing I want to tell you about. We're going to digress for a minute here.
You mean that if you... ended all the homicides in Canada, you wouldn't need all the
why would you? It'd be just like England.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to talk about that.
You mean to perpetuate itself by...
Absolutely. Why would you have prisons?
Oh, okay.
Why would you have prisons? We need guns, and we need narcotics, so we need prisons because we got guns and narcotics. Now, let me tell you this. I want to tell you about the famous, every one of these clowns on TV calls our mayor, Giuliani. Let me tell you something about this. Our mayor, Giuliani. This man needs to be brought up on charges. This man needs to be put up under the jail. Him and that bull-headed, fat, idiot, Carrot need to be put back. Carrot need to be put back in prison because he was the follower of that mongrel, Giuliani. What they did was, after the terrorist attack, after the first terrorist attack in New York City, Giuliani, the policeman and the fireman says, you know, hey, we couldn't talk to one another. We couldn't talk where we were down. We were separated. The police department went to Verizon, and they went to AT&T, and went to Mobile, and they said, hey, you guys got to give us some daggone phones where we could talk, communicate with one another while we were underground because we couldn't communicate.
Right.
Verizon, AT&T, hey, absolutely, big contract, send it out, we'll do it.
Right.
So they went. The fire department went to Giuliani. He said, hey, we need some, because the policemen are doing it, and the fire department, we need to be protected too. Giuliani says, let me think about it. He said, let me think about it. So then they let him think about it. They gave him 2 days. And he came back and said, this is a dire emergency. We are not protected because we couldn't talk to each other either. And the police department has already sent out their bid. Why can't we send out a bid? He said, because you guys don't work like the police do underground. This is what he told him. Right? So, meanwhile, 9/11 came up. The call went out from the police dispatch. Everybody's on the ground floor right now. You have 10 minutes to be here on the ground floor. Get out of the building. Every single policeman that was there working in that building heard that call and was down on the ground floor in 15 minutes and out of the building. Fire department, call went out. Same time as the policeman. Everybody who's here listening to this right now, down floor, you got 10 minutes. Be downstairs. We'll meet you in the front. He sent it out again. 26 minutes later. Everybody, you heard my voice, come down right now. We're meeting. We're getting out of the building. Nothing. 56 minutes later, the building collapsed. Every fireman in that building was killed. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you? When they, then I saw last night on a special, this guy was a senior fireman. He had a battalion. He was outside the building at the time. He said, Mayor Giuliani killed my brothers. He killed every single one of them. Why? He said we did not need updated telephones. We did not need it. And every one of my brothers was killed because they had old telephone connections.
Yeah. And, you know, in general, wasn't he the one that refused to listen to all of the reports when they were putting together that terrorism stuff and consolidated in one freaking building?
I didn't get to that yet. They told the firemen and the policemen, told Giuliani that they needed to move their equipment and everything that was part of the command post to Brooklyn, New York.
Yep.
Giuliani wanted it in the World Trade Center because he did not want to walk so far from his office.
And it's prestigious.
And his office, well, then why wasn't he in the building when it collapsed, because that was a satellite office. That was not his main office. Is down in Gracie, Gracie Mansion. So he wasn't there. So this man needs to be brought up on charges, because if anybody is directly responsible for sending their people someplace where they all died, George Bush, they need to go to jail.
Yeah. Well, what do you do? These guys never, ever, ever get charged on anything.
No, never. But Giuliani needs to be hung by his thumbs.
Yeah.
And the report last night, where every single one, every fireman they interviewed, they are so mad at this man.
Well, you know, he's also, I think it's good, though, to just keep this in the public.
Oh, yeah, he keeps himself in the public eye.
Yeah, because he keeps wanting to be in a higher office.
Right, but you see,
sure.
What higher office will take him?
Yeah,
I don't think janitor would take him. That's a higher office than what he has right now. Because he's a figment of somebody's imagination.
Mainly,
and that's all he'll ever be.
Mainly his
own. Yes, he's a figment in his own mind. He has prestige in his own mind.
But
other than that,
another problem. This is just an aside on personality types, but it bothers me greatly to have, and this is something that the Republicans did repeatedly, following 9/11 and the horror there, and Giuliani led the way. They wrapped themselves
in the flag.
Tragedy.
Oh yeah.
And just constantly talked about it.
Right.
And that's just, it's disgusting. I don't understand. The mentality there. But
there is no mentality with the Progressive Party. Their mentality is...
Well, they just do anything to promote themselves.
Well, absolutely.
But
I mean...
Any kind of dignity about it. I mean, they just walked around for freaking 8 years just going 9-11, 9-11, 9-11, 9-11, and I'm the guy who stood on the mound of the rubble, you know. That's all they did. And it's insulting.
What Vice President Biden said. Giuliani knows three words. A noun, a verb, and 9-11.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. So the thing is that when you get a man who can still show his face in New York City and still say, I'm the people's mayor,
yeah,
there's something wrong with this man.
Yeah.
I mean, he had all these firemen killed because he wouldn't spend a dime getting new updated communications.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... I mean, he needs to be hung for this.
Every child in America, every time there's a death in a school or people get sick from bad food or anything else, this should all be held accountable.
Absolutely.
All of this defunding everything in America and nickel and diming every program gets. I mean, that's why there's every time there's a, you know, that bridge that collapsed recently, the cars and the people that died on it.
Which one? There's a whole bunch of bridges collapsing. They're collapsing all around it.
Every time that happens, though, there's congressmen.
Absolutely. A lot of them.
Should be brought up on charges.
Absolutely. They need to be brought up on charges every time a bridge collapses.
Surprise. This isn't a sudden attack. We've been talking about this for 40 years, and they've been going steadily into decline. And they are rated every year, and the ratings get worse. And they've been told and warned that it's happening, and now they're falling down. So I think they should be charged.
And, you know, we're not talking about Godzilla coming up out of the water and pulling them down.
No.
They're falling on their own.
No, they are slowly rusting and rotting and collapsing. And if they're not repairing them, then they're complicit.
Absolutely correct. Well, you know, the problem is that they have wrapped themselves so tightly in getting himself. Oh, Bill Curtis died, huh?
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Bill Curtis.
Anyway,
but they wrapped themselves so tightly in this Norquist, we can never ever raise a dime again in tax revenue, that now the only choice they have is to cut the funding to everything.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
They can't pay for the government to run.
No,
I mean, you can't even turn a light on in America now because they can't raise tax for them.
Well,
I mean, seriously, you can't pay for the infrastructure, so they just let it fall down.
No, it's not that they can't pay. They don't want to pay.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
They do not want to pay. They want to give taxes back to the people who don't deserve the taxes so they can be satisfied. Hey, you got me elected.
Well,
look what I gave you back.
It doesn't matter. Everybody can keep all their own money, and we can just sit in darkness and watch the bears roam around and stuff. And
I said that's a new movie.
But the reality is, if we want to live in a country where we can drive down a maintained road and go to a business that has a light on and that you can turn a tap on and get fresh water from and things like that, and then when you drank that water and you have to go to the bathroom, you can go to the bathroom and it flushes, you know, things like that, little basic services.
What about those? But what about those little things that come up from out of the water in the toilet? Oh, I saw that in the X-Files.
What was that, trimmers?
Yeah, X-Files, too. Oh, yes. Well, what happens if you're driving down those roads and every quarter of a mile there's a camera?
Hmm. Yeah. Well, so you know what? I think
it's... when they say, wait a minute, we didn't see him at the next quarter mile check.
Yeah.
Where did he get it off at?
Here's my little priority dream. My priority dream is, before you put in the $100 million worth of cameras to monitor me riding down the road, maybe notice that I'm tearing my car to pieces on potholes and then the bridge is collapsing under me.
Oh.
So maybe if we spent the money prioritized, it's perfect. And then at the very end of the day, when everything was beautiful and sparkling in America and every up to date and every fireman had new equipment and all of our bridges were shiny and every school was like a palace. And our children were on sliding into their desk with golden honey buns in every hand. Then we can spend the money to monitor our neighbors. That's my dream.
Well,
I want to have priorities in there.
I got a priority for you here. You're speaking about that. Where was this at here? And I was gonna play it before, but oh gosh, where is it at here?
I think this guy's a genius. He has turned this town into a wonderland. You know what I'm talking about? You know the potholes all over New York City? Some of them are enormous. It's not an 8,000
shuffling river,
right.
They could go and fish and be fed.
That's right.
It's genius.
Yeah, but wouldn't we tax them on those fish?
Yes. Only for rich men.
End the story.
Yeah.
That's end of the story.
You know.
Now, how big of these trout could it be?
Again, back to my point. After we don't have potholes, and after our kids are educated, and after they have health care, we can put a camera on every corner, Mike. I want to prioritize America. I just believe that we can help our neighbor before we spy on our neighbor.
Well, speaking about spying on our neighbors, you know, you heard about the 84-year-old woman that won the big lottery?
No. jump-start an economy or something. You know, just...
Hey.
You know.
Lady, are you listening? Like hey, lady, hey, send it to me, please.
Hey, you want to fund a radio show?
Unbelievable.
We'll even rename it your word. Whatever
oh,
your name
God,
is.
Oh, God, that's right. Your word.
Fiona's last word or whatever.
Whatever she wants. And there's one other thing I got. It's just when we're now in the
Science Hour.
Yeah. I had to play you one other thing from Letterman was going off the chain the other day. Let me tell you about this. I just want to tell you, now, there's two more of these I got to play for you, but one is very, very special, and it happened in 1992, you know, for everybody listening out there.
Really?
What happened? Yes. And according to local authorities, was what? Hello? Well, where are we at? Let's play again. Oh, that's wonderful. It is wonderful. And?
I just want to share that with you. That's the one I like. So apparently, in that news item, we're talking about basically a random citizen adopted, right?
Politicians.
Yeah. So you're talking about a random citizen adopted.
Random citizen adopted.
It turned out not to be so random, right?
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be someone important.
Right.
What you were reporting on.
Right. Well,
you can go ahead and tell
I'm going to tell the story. I have a good ending in here if I can find it. Here it is right here. Anyway, this person was stopped, and they were asked, he said, why was I stopped? And he said, well, you were speeding. He says, no, I wasn't speeding. He said, yes, you were. He says, I was not speeding. He says, can you please get out of the car? He says, it's raining out here. Get out of the car, please. Everyone out of the car. So they stood out in the rain while the police went through the entire car and the trunk. Policeman came over to him then and said, thank you. They didn't find anything. So they get back in the car soaking wet. Today, that same person is now Judge Robert Wilkins.
Yesterday,
Kavanaugh, Judge Robert Wilkins was nominated by President Obama to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. Robert Wilkins is thinking he might be telling the information from the court that he wanted, and he has just been nominated to the federal bench. The policy that he's funding that, those policies are still very much with us now. They've been established in cities across the country.
They have been established in cities across the country. He was the first one that created this particular law.
The crime is called DWP, driving while blind. The crime committed when an officer mentioned the profiles of drivers. Pastor Chris Mitchell said that he was in the news and police coordination.
I'm a one of our social pastors. Mr. Bowman and his wife have been a favorite grandchildren. And pulled over, the officer pulled him over, and he pulled him over, and he said, well, I didn't see your seatbelt. And they come up, all of them have their seatbelts. Just because of the law.
So, good things do happen to people, but it shouldn't take from 1992 till today. But meanwhile, Judge Wilkins went on from that incident that night to become a public defender, and now he is being recommended to the highest court in the land, one step below the Supreme Court. And I thought that was something that we could sign off with sometime today. When we do sign off, which I need to check the clock. Oh, yeah. We got some more time. So what do you think of that, Tommy?
Well, we've known about this forever and a day. Mm-hmm. Even a little good friend of mine here, young guy, was friends with here for the last 3.5 years in town.
Mm-hmm.
It was his, you know, he didn't have a car. He was a poor young guy,
mm-hmm.
and he was trying to save enough to get a car, but he was just out of high school. He got a little minimum wage job, but I used to go and pick him up every once in a while, give him rides and stuff whenever I could,
mm-hmm.
because just to help him out. But one of the other reasons was he had to walk to work and to go up a long road, walk to work, but he walked through this area, TKK, down here in South Carolina. Got a little ritzy area, got a couple boards, all that kind of stuff on it. Every time he walked,
what's the name of it?
It's called TKK. But we,
TTK?
TIGA-K.
Oh, TIGA-K, okay.
Yeah. But let's not worry about dispersion of the town too much. It's just that whenever he went through there, over and over and over again, he gets stopped. Just randomly, like walking down the road, they'd always pull him over, you know, pull up beside him and investigate, go through his backpack, go through his pockets, do whatever. Never found anything on him. Then they say, okay, go ahead. And sometimes it's the same guys. And they go, oh, hey.
Same police?
Yeah, they say, oh, here you go. And then they started letting him go. And he was like, why do y'all always stop me? And the guy was just like, well, we just thought, you know, it's kind of a black man walking through the thing, you know, it's kind of shifty. So we just, and but they started knowing him. And so then they started letting him go. And they'd walk away, and they'd slow down and pull up and go, oh, hey. And then
ride?
And they wave at him. No, never offer him a ride. But they quit.
So they didn't go that far.
After a while. But this guy got pulled over umpteen thousand times. And he used to get mad because he said, I got to know guys. They would pull up and then they'd wave and say, okay, hey, man, and ride on. He said, unless they were the new ones. Then I'd have to go through the whole thing again. The new ones would pull me out, put me on the trunk of the car, go through all my stuff, my belongings, go through my pockets, everything else. Couldn't find anything. Didn't grudgingly let him go, you know. He said, so I used to always just tread. I'd look and see if it was the cop I knew or not. I'm like, how pathetic. And his crime literally was walking.
Well, walk while black.
Yeah. And this was the nicest guy in the world. This is the guy who had two jobs. He's working, trying to make a life for himself. And he's getting harassed going to work. I mean, isn't that the American dream? You know, you're going to work, you're paying for your stuff.
Yeah, having a job. That's the American dream,
all
right.
But, you know, again, this happens all the time in America. And it's just profiling, plain and simple. You know, just because you're poor or black or Hispanic or whatever doesn't make you a criminal. It really doesn't. And it you know, just because you happen to cut through an area when you went to the grocery store or went to the little five and dime down at the end of the street, it doesn't make you a criminal, and you shouldn't be shot in the back like you're Trayvon, because that's what happened there too. Again, there was a black kid walking through a neighborhood, and you know, as if he didn't have a right to walk through.
But
that's the end result.
And you see,
but in this case,
is that going to change?
Well,
yeah, we need to fire at these politicians. Yeah.
Well, in this case, you know, you have the guy that was being profiled there that's a judge. I mean,
judge.
Again, just because he's black.
And he said, good. He said, I'm glad you stopped because I'm going to remember this.
Yeah.
Don't ever come in front of me,
but
boy.
The real troubling part about that is not only the stopping, the wrongness of that, but pretend, like, let's say there was some other reason that, like, literally, you know, they didn't stop at a light.
Yeah, he had a limp. He had a limp.
He had some kind of, well, say there was even a valid.
That's because that big gun was in that left leg there.
Say he had a valid excuse and he had some suspicion about the car or something. Okay, whatever. But given even that, when he had the guys out and he said he was standing in the rain, which, you know,
yeah.
This old guy, and then the guy tells him, he's a judge, and quotes.
And he's just coming from a funeral. They're all dressed in black now.
Yeah. But he
Men in Black.
The law to him?
He quoted verbatim. The statute. The statute. He gave him the number.
Well, and when you do something like that, and then the enforcer of said laws just goes, yeah, that mean nothing to me.
That's it. I don't know the law.
Yeah. That's the most troubling part to me. I mean, that is really, really, really problematic. And it shows you where no matter how good your laws are, no anything else on that, if you don't have oversight and accountability for abuses like that, then they're going to be abused.
What was it we heard today? What did the representative tell the Wakeford? We write the laws.
Yeah.
We wrote the law. We don't write changes in the law for an agency.
Yeah.
We write the law.
And it doesn't matter.
It's us. You don't.
It's like, we'll have an investigation.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
No, you don't need an investigation.
You need to change.
You need to change.
Book.
You need to change that book because we ain't changing the law. You need to change your agency's book.
That's what, I mean, look, that's why they have these laws. That's why you can't work longer. That's why you have to be paid a minimum wage. That's why you have to have, you know, there are laws protecting you. And they need to honestly follow the law.
Well, speaking about the law, we're looking up now at the TV at a GOP hypocrisy.
Uh-huh.
Representative Fincher, he voted to cut food stamps by $21 billion with a B,
yeah.
Dollars. And he's now receiving $3.48 million
in
farm subsidies.
So, you know.
He cut that, but it's all right if the farmers get $3.5 million.
Again, it's one of those things where it's okay for his constituents, but
right.
Not for anybody else.
No.
And this is the same thing we saw, though, with Hurricane Sandy. All of these states voting against it, saying that how dare they get aid unless it's offset by, you remember, they same thing. Let's cut food stamps. Let's do
right.
That to pay for it. Whereas as soon as Oklahoma was hit or any of these other, you know, Texas or wherever,
right.
They voted against, then they instantly, where's my aid?
Right, absolutely, where's my aid?
You know, so I just don't understand these.
I understand it. They're criminal.
Well, yeah, but you know what? They're the guys that walk around all day long professing to be Christian and to be the family values crowd. Now, where's the value in that?
There's no value in that.
How you don't cut food
stamps? Why should there be value in that?
You can't even afford food.
Why should there be value in that? Now, there was a, according to the president, I think it was the president, the president, according to Letterman, you know, he was meeting with, as he says, President Dong Chong-Ving, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
he's meeting with him. So, President China. First time ever that any Chinese diplomat has come to the United States. Listen to what he had to say.
Okay.
So the thing is that is this serious? Is what he's trying to say?
Yeah.
Is this serious? This man has never been. Well, it's not him especially, but there has never been a Japanese diplomat come to the United States, and he's bringing his wife, and his wife is gorgeous. She's known. Matter of fact, more people know her than know the Chinese. The Chinese president.
Right.
So the thing is that she is she's a singer.
Yeah, the singer and actress.
A singer and actress on national television in China, and she is so she's more famous than he is. So when at the cocktail parties they say it's just like in the American president. Oh no, it wasn't American president. It was with Robert Kennedy when he went to France. Not Robert, John F. Kennedy. He said, mm-hmm. "Yes, when we went to France." He said, "He was talking." He says, "Yes, I'm the person that came with Mrs. Kennedy." So this is the same thing here.
Or poor Charles with Diana.
Right, poor John.
Who's that guy again?
Who is that masked man?
I'll get you a better one. What was his name? Sarkozy?
Sarkozy,
the one that married the actress?
He's the one. He's the one.
Yeah, that's why
he beat a one. Let's see, we have. One's not getting investigation. Okay, now here's if the House is ever going to take up an investigation, this will be the time. I mean, just listen to this.
I think it's very clear that the House
This is the immigration bill that we were talking about when the show first started, that Rubio says, we're going to be able to, this should be able to be massaged over here. They asked him a day later, and he says, I don't think the bill is going to be, I don't think we'll be able to do it. We need to have this legislation in the bill so we can get something, because if it's not in there when we go to vote on it, I don't think I'm going to vote on it. It's his bill, as we said before. His bill. And he's not going to vote on it. You know, it just never gets any better than this. These guys are killing each other, and they don't know. They don't know. And one more thing that I'd like to play here is something from what was said about the... Well, we were talking about it all day, about the government investigating you.
I think it's notable that one of the most right-wing members of the United States Congress is stepping up to be the most vocal defender of what the Obama administration is doing and what the Bush administration did before that. Because it's a very right-wing mentality. The idea is that the government should simply know everything that citizens in a free society are doing, regardless of whether there's evidence that we've committed any crime. There was a legit investigation in the 1970s called the Truth Committee, and what it discovered was that whenever surveillance powers are exercised in the dark, the government lies about the reasons that they're surveilling, and they abuse that power. They eavesdropped on all sorts of political views, like Martin Luther King and dissidents and opponents of the administration. And the idea that you have nothing to hide, then there's no reason you should care. People know instinctively that stuff. They have passwords on their emails. They have locks on their bedroom doors. There's all kinds of value that we have in having privacy as an individual that is destroyed when we allow the government to monitor and store everything that we're doing. But of course, the most advanced of the world are doing that because that's the mentality in which this is all rooted. Government to eavesdrop on all conversations except ones between Americans
domestically. When an American talks to Americans, we still need to learn it, but otherwise, when Americans talk to somebody outside the U.S., they don't. And what this program does, and that law was renewed in 2012, what this program does is that when that law was passed, people said, well, how are we going to prevent abuse? If the government doesn't have to go to a court and get a warrant, how do we prevent abuse? And in so long, don't worry, we still have to go to the internet companies, we still have to go to the phone companies and ask for the records they want, and that will be the check on abuse. And this program is a program in which the NSA takes its hands and sticks it directly into the servers on all of these space internet sites, Facebook, Skype, Apple, YouTube, but people around the world need to have communications, and lets the NSA grab whatever it is they want, either stored email or real-time communication, with nobody looking over their shoulder, nobody watching over them. Any analyst in the NSA sitting at the keyboard can at any moment go into the system and listen to whatever he wants, read whatever he wants, and then store it. It is really menacing, and there are no checks. This is how the world communicates, and the NSA is monitoring at all times.
Now, I did play that before, but again, in the book.
It's a big thing.
I was going to pick up something here.
Here's,
yes, go ahead.
Fill the moment because I don't want to run out the okay. Because we're running out of time without mentioning this. But since you mentioned.
You got 11 minutes.
I know. Since you mentioned President going overseas, I wanted to say that.
No, he's not. Oh.
Timing, well, he's meeting with.
Yeah,
the
right. Premier. He's here.
Anyway, he's coming here. But time wise, I think it's very, very interesting. Because yesterday, for the next 2 days, well, because it's a 3-day event, but was the anniversary of Tiananmen Square. A lot of people forget about that, but it has been a scary about 24 years, I think, since Tiananmen.
It's been that long?
That's crazy. But, you know, for y'all that don't remember, that's a there was a freedom uprising and led by students originally in China back in the 80s when Papa Bush was in, and that's the first Bush. But it coalesced in Tiananmen Square, which it was the square stands for like a eternal peace. And they were demanding freedom, and they erected, if you remember, a Statue of Liberty in honor of America and asked for our help and everything.
Right.
And sadly, but of course it would have created a war.
You think?
Bush did nothing, didn't go to their aid.
Of course not.
And they ended up being killed. They exterminated all of them. And shot them and, you know, ran over them with tanks and all that stuff. It was kind of horrible, if you remember the end. But it created a...
And the woman that stood in front of the tank.
Yeah, and so Tiananmen Square became a major point.
Symbol.
You know, ever since then, Republic of China has suppressed all news, talk, or anything else about it. But it's important to remember these things, and I find it really ironic that this weekend they're meeting on the anniversary.
Speaking about you talking about freedom, let's see what and I played this before, but we didn't play it today. But we just I think you need to hear this one more time from the 6-foot-8 man himself, James Comey.
Let me go back and take it from the top. You rushed to the hospital that evening. Why?
I'm only hesitating because I need to explain why.
Please. I'll give you all the time you need, sir.
I've actually thought quite a bit over the last 3 years about how I would answer that question if it was ever asked, because I assumed that at some point I would have to testify about it. The one thing I'm not going to do and be very, very careful about is, because it's involved a classified program, I'm not going to get anywhere near classified information. I'm also... I'm very leery of and will not reveal the content of advice I gave as a lawyer, deliberations I engaged in. I think it's very important for the Department of Justice that someone who held my position not do that.
Terms of privilege.
Yes,
understood.
Sir. Subject to that, I'm uncomfortable talking about this, but I will answer your question. I to understand what happened that night, I kind of got to back up about a week.
Please.
In the early part of 2004, the Department of Justice was engaged, the Office of Legal Counsel, under my supervision, in a reevaluation, both factually and legally, of a particular classified program. And it was a program that was renewed on a regular basis and required signature by the Attorney General certifying to its legality. And I remember the precise date, the program had to be renewed by March the 11th, which was a Thursday of 2004. And we were engaged in a very intensive reevaluation of the matter. And a week before that March 11th deadline, I had a private meeting with the Attorney General for an hour, just the two of us. And I laid out for him what we had learned and what our analysis was of this particular matter. And at the end of that hour-long private session, he and I agreed on a course of action. And within hours, he was stricken and taken very, very ill.
You thought something was wrong with how it was being operated or administered or overseen?
We had concerns as to our ability to certify its legality, and which was our obligation for the program to be renewed. The Attorney General was taken that very afternoon to George Washington Hospital, where he went into intensive care and remained there for over a week. And I became the acting Attorney General. And over the next week, particularly the following week on Tuesday, we communicated to the relevant parties at the White House and elsewhere our decision that as acting Attorney General, I would not certify the program as to its legality, and explained our reasoning in detail, which I will not go into here, nor am I confirming it's any particular program. That was Tuesday that we communicated that. The next day was Wednesday, March the 10th, the night of the hospital incident, and I was headed home at about 8 o'clock that evening. My security detail was driving me, and I remember exactly where I was, on Constitution Avenue, and got a call from Attorney General Ashcroft's chief of staff telling me that he had gotten
a call. What's his name?
David Ayers. That he had gotten a call from Mrs. Ashcroft from the hospital. She had banned all visitors and all phone calls. So I hadn't seen him or talked to him because he was very ill. And Mrs. Ashcroft reported that a call had come through and that as a result of that call, Mr. Card and Mr. Gonzalez were on their way to the hospital to see Mr. Ashcroft.
Do you have any idea who that call was from?
I have some recollection that the call was from the president himself, but I don't know that for sure. It came from the White House, and it came through, and the call was taken in the hospital. So I hung up the phone, immediately called my chief of staff, told him to get as many of my people as possible to the hospital immediately. I hung up, called Director Mueller, and with whom I'd been discussing this particular matter, and who'd been a great help to me over that week, and told him what was happening. He said, I'll meet you at the hospital right now. Told my security detail that I need to get to George Washington Hospital immediately. They turned on the emergency equipment and drove very quickly to the hospital. I got out of the car and literally ran up the stairs with my security detail.
What was your concern? You were in obviously a huge hurry.
I was concerned that given how ill I knew the Attorney General was, that there might be an effort to ask him to overrule me when he was in no condition to do that. I was worried about him, frankly. And so I raced to the hospital room, entered, and Mrs. Ashcroft was standing by the hospital bed. Mr. Ashcroft was lying down in the bed. The room was darkened. And I immediately began speaking to him, trying to orient him as to time and place and try to see if he could focus on what was happening. And it wasn't clear to me that he could. He seemed pretty bad off.
And at that point, it was you, Mrs. Ashcroft, and the Attorney General and maybe medical personnel in the room, no other Justice Department or government officials.
Just the three of us at that point. I tried to see if I could help him get oriented. As I said, it wasn't clear that I had succeeded. I went out in the hallway, spoke to Director Mueller by phone. He was on his way. I handed the phone to the head of the security detail, and Director Mueller instructed the FBI agents present not to allow me to be removed from the room under any circumstances. And I went back in the room. I was shortly joined by the head of the Office of Legal Counsel, Assistant Attorney General Jack Goldsmith, and a senior staffer of mine who had worked on this matter. an associate deputy attorney general. So the three of us, Justice Department people, went in the room. I sat down.
Can you just give us the names of the two other people?
Jack Goldsmith, who was the assistant attorney general, and Patrick Philbin, who was associate deputy attorney general. I sat down in an armchair by the head of the attorney general's bed. The two other Justice Department people stood behind me. And Mrs. Ashcroft stood by the bed holding her husband's arm, and we waited. And it was only a matter of minutes that the door opened and in walked Mr. Gonzalez carrying an envelope and Mr. Card. They came over and stood by the bed, greeted the Attorney General very briefly, and then Mr. Gonzalez began to discuss why they were there, to seek his approval for a matter, and explain what the matter was, which I will not do. And Attorney General Ashcroft then stunned me. He lifted his head off the pillow and in very strong terms expressed his view of the matter, rich in both substance and fact, which stunned me, drawn from the hour-long meeting we'd had a week earlier, and in very strong terms expressed himself, and then laid his head back down on the pillow, seemed spent, and said to them, but that doesn't matter because I'm not the Attorney General.
But he expressed his reluctance or his, he would not sign the statement that they give the authorization that they had asked. Is that right?
Yes. And as he laid back down, he said, but that doesn't matter because I'm not the Attorney General. There is the Attorney General. And he pointed to me when I was just to his left. The two men did not acknowledge me. They turned and walked from the room. And within just a few moments after that, Director Mueller arrived. I told him quickly what had happened. He had a brief, brief exchange with the Attorney General, and then we went outside in the hallway.
Okay. You got 15 seconds.
But I just wanted to say one last thing, very important.
Yes.
Yesterday,
yes.
June 6th. Was the
59th
anniversary D-Day, one of the most
important
events in all
American history. That's right.
Especially American history.
Absolutely.
But, if you think the events we talked about today with September 11th were important, this is the time when we landed 150,000 men at once on the beaches to retake Europe from the grip of fascism.
Absolutely.
They lost a lot of lives. There were some great, brave people there.
6 days of the 6 months.
You know, my grandfather was in that war underneath Patton, and I just wanted to give them a tip of the hat. That is an amazing accomplishment. Saved the world for democracy, and so we need to thank them. Remember these anniversaries. They're important.
That's right.
And tell that you can. Thank you for your service to this country.
And you need to go watch D-Day. Buy it. Rent it. Goodbye.